You catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Donna Coleon Show, Rock Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Or JulieDeGasso.com.
WGAG Radio.
I feel the existence of the Most High.
Before those Hittites, when he was buying a tomb for his wife, Right? You follow that? So he understood prostration already. So he understood prayer already. But Melchizedek had to come and tell him, get back to the worship of Anu. Now, why would I say Anu when they use Ilion, Ilion, El in the Tanakh or the Torah? Because Melchizedek was not a Hebrew. When Melchizedek was speaking, he was speaking as Melech Zedek. He was speaking as a Hebrew. We say Melech, an angel who is Zedek, who is righteous or just or justified, who deals just. So he wasn't speaking as a Hebrew or an Israelite or a Muslim. He was speaking as a Chaldean. You follow that? Meaning he was speaking to Abraham, who your Bible says was a or a Chaldea. They also say he was an Aramean. What they use in the Tanakh is the word Syrian. But if you look into the Hebrew of it, you'll find the word Aramean. Of Aram from Genesis 10. So all these people were speaking one of the dialects that was given to man. You with me? And so he would have been speaking to Abraham before Abraham became a Hebrew. The word Hebrew, simply Ivrit, means, or in Arabic, Ebra, means to cross from one place to another. To cross over the Tigris and Euphrates. He was going to the furthest point of our land. When I say our land, let me make myself clear. That's a long story for Moses to bring down from more. Our land extended from the other side of the Persian Gulf, coming westward, all the way to California. You follow? There was no Red Sea or Reed Sea. Right? Bahra, we call it Bahra Atma. There was none there. There was no Atlantic Ocean. Continental drift and continent drift resulted in land masses moving. Thus, there was no Africa. There was no separation called South America. All those pieces of land, when pushed back together, will give you one bland spot of water in the center. And that bland spot today is off the coast of what they call Bermuda. You with me? Was all part of what later was the ancient called the Yucatan. Beneath the Bermuda is now what they refer to as the Bermuda Triangle. A magnetic field. That was the capital of our kingdom. That was took place in Sumer and Egypt, and this land, the land of the frogs, some call it a maxim, from the word Mexico. That's just one of the names. All that was called Genoa. Genoa is what we call it. And we sectioned it off in the park based on the people that were there. I don't want to go too far from Most High, so I'll come back around that far later. So when Abraham started his journey, he encountered a man who the Bible cannot account for genealogy speaking, a man called Melchizedek. The man is also mentioned in Moses' time. The man is also mentioned in the book of Hebrew in Jesus' time as being after the order of Melchizedek. You follow? This was, of course, an incarnated being. We do believe in reincarnation and incarnation. You follow? Now, Muslims will tell you they don't believe in reincarnation. Christians will tell you they don't believe in reincarnation. Right? But then they'll tell you, Jesus died, went to heaven, and he's coming back. Talk to me then. That's not reincarnation, what is it? Jesus died, went to heaven, and came back. Lazarus died, went into a tomb, was wrapped, buried, spiced. Jesus came 3.5 days later, and called Lazarus back to life. Back in the same cardinal body. What is that? That's re-incarnal body. Reincarnation.
You
hear me? Huh? Alright, so we have a being, Melchizedek, who reincarnates. from body to body. He comes at a crucial time amongst his own. Raised up for you from amongst you. But the key word in that last one was out of the east unto the west. You with me?
Right.
Now, certain groups of people would like to make you think their leader or their teacher is that man when they were born here in America.
Make a plan.
Whether it be San Diego, Georgia, or North Carolina, or Jamaica, West Indies, and I've named three prominent brothers who I love dearly. They were all born here. And I had to do this book, postgraduate lesson. I had to do this book, Chef Daoud versus Master W.D. Farr. Because they at one point were saying that this man, Master Farid Muhammad, Farid Muhammad, or whatever way they want to spell his name, was the Most High amongst you, the wisest amongst you. And because they said he came from the east, he started to fit the mold of the prototype that would come to save their people, or save those which were lost. But it says in Matthew, you'll come out of the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He be born there and come here. I was born in Nubia, tried and proven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Muslims call upon, while we were in the school of Islam, and I was just said to Ibrahim John, put me in a position where I was the most hated, dark skinned, olive tone Islamic teacher in America. I was the most criticized. I was the most critiqued. They were asking me questions about who makes up my bed. Who cuts the lettuce in the pot in my house for my spouse? Where's my mother? Who is my mother? Where is my father? Who is my father? Where were you born? When did you take your shahada? How long have you been a Muslim? Are you Sudanese? Are you American? Are you Dr. Yacht the Disco Singer? Are you Imam Isa? Are you Rabboni Yeshua? Do you call yourself Christ? Do you say you are God? Questions, they didn't dare ask any of the other leaders. I ain't never heard anybody yet ask Minister Louis Farrakhan about his tribe and life. But me, I was put to test, tried and proven. And I had to prove it by producing documents. So the Sunni Muslims went out and said, oh man, we know him. That's Dr. York. His name is Dwayne. He was born in Brooklyn somewhere. You remember that guy? So I went on back to Sudan. Verity. Wahutu. Shahadat. Verity. And got my birth certificate. Had to go back to the files and hunt it down. Because I was born in 1945 when they did everything by hand. There was no computers. I can't tell you what I had to go through the Hall of Records. But as an Ankash, the most recognized clan in Sudan, it made it easy. And with Saif Sadiq, the Prime Minister, standing beside me, it made it a little easier than it was, of course, too. You follow? So I went and got the birth certificate and I printed a book and I said, here's my birth certificate in the book. Oh, he made that up. He got the seal of Sudan on it. He got the signature of the man who approved it. When I had to get it, you have to get a photo of that copy, not giving you originally with a seal. Oh, he made that up. I know a brother named Lukman who was in State Street in 65, when he took his shahada, I was there. I had to go into the files of records and Chef Daoud was dead now. had to get back in touch with mother Khadijah's wife at the Islamic Mission of America, 143 8th Street, Brooklyn, and get inside the file and pull out my identification card. You say that? And it showed June 12th, 1957, Sheikh Daoud gave me my card. Most of the guys who were asking me the questions were babies at the time, breastfeeding. When I was in State Street under a Moroccan born Sheikh Daoud, as we called him, born in Morocco. No, they say Sheikh Daoud was born in the Caribbean. That's why I put these books up. But he gave me the information. You with me? Because I had to establish in this latter day and time who the Most High is amongst us. That Most High is like the Freemasons, they the highest degree of information. In the Islamic world, they say the Imam is the smartest person in the mosque who knows the most Quran, and in their case, the most Hadith or Sunnah, who's best at fiqh, Sharia, a bunch of nice fancy Arabic words. Whoever knows the most becomes the Imam of Imams, which will make him the highest of the Imams. The Grand Master, the Grand Potentate, becomes the highest figure in the Lodge under the G, which stands for the Grand Architect of the Universe. And the Grand Master who stands in the Lodge with 2 feet beside him and sits on that throne becomes a representative to you of the Most God Himself in person. That's why they call him what? The Grand Master of the Lodge. So the Most High have to verify, to prove that they have what? The most knowledge, the most wisdom, and the most understanding to give you an overstanding. Not just knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I saw knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I heard knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I listened to knowledge, wisdom, and understanding being taught to my people for years. And I thought it was necessary. Because it is necessary to go to kindergarten before you go to the university.
Right.
It was all necessary. You follow? But to verify the existence of the Most High to you and to me is a board trip. You want it? It's a board trip. Step back up, please. You got the name, El-Elyun, Al-Ali, right? And Anu. The board trip starts with 3 levels. This is level 3, 2, and level 1. This level here is earth. I'm sorry. This level here is sea. This is earth. And what is this for me? Sky. You want to say heaven, I know. The word heaven is a Latin word, haven. It also implies a docking point in a marina. This is why, in Islam, the first thing that was said to Muhammad 1400 years ago was, Ya Muhammad, Iqra. Iqra, read. The first thing you find in the book of St. John is, in the beginning was the word. You know? And the first thing that happens in Genesis is a conversation. They don't understand the key to unlocking all your problems is in language. But all the leaders won't take time to master the language. Something is key. We're going to touch this one. You know what I mean? Now, in ancient Egypt, we have Shu, right? We have Kef, and we have Nun. With that's the deity of the skies, the deity of the earth, and the deity of the underworld, which becomes when the Greeks stole it, and change Fahis, which is Fah, over to Hamid. They also changed all the names. And they changed Fitul here to Zeus. Fitul here, the earth, sea to Poseidon, and the earth, which they call the earth Hades. Hades, which is the word they use for hell, Zeus, the deities in the sky, and Poseidon, the deity beneath the water. You with me? If you want to walk it now, I'll walk you right across the desert. If you want to walk it, but it works. And I want you to try to prove it wrong. That's my weapon. Right? I can take this out in many cultures and give you many different names, but that would lose you and waste time. What I want to take you to is the reality that every culture and all cultures acknowledge this thing here, the Most High. The Greeks call it Theos. That's the word in your Bible, in Greek, for God. Theos. And it's running synonymous with Elohim, the way they use it. For that Kurios also, the Lord. You got that? There's Theos, that's the Greek. The Elohim is the more modern version, taken from Nephilion, Hebrew word Nephilah, to come down, Genesis 6. The Nephilah, as we call Nephilion. Or the word Jabbar, from Jerahim, from Gibor, from the Mighty One, also Gibor used in there, where the word algebra comes from, but goes back before the Muslims, because it's in the Torah, in Genesis chapter 6, as Gibor. So not some guy did not invent algebra, who was just some Muslim. All that happened before Islam. Most of the time when Muslims are telling you about the accomplishments of Muslims, they're talking about pre-Islamic times. They say mathematics was created by Muslims, the cycle was created by Muslims. They're talking about so-called Arabs before the coming of Muhammad. So it has nothing to do with Islam. It has to do with the Arabs who lived in Arabia before Muhammad was even born. Muslims, since they've been here, haven't invented nothing but terrorism and confusion, because the religion of Islam confines the mind to the Quran and Hadith. It doesn't open up for science. I taught Islam for 25 years. And at the kind of level of the Arabia, what does it have to do with it? That equality. When Allah, English. Huh? That was my language before English. So these teachers don't have a clue of what's really going on. I can start anywhere you want. But everybody recognizes the Netiru, the Egyptians, the Nephilim, the so-called Hebrews. You follow that? The Pharaohs, the Greeks, the Malaika, the Arabic, over angelic beings, or heavenly host. You understand? And those beings descended down to earth. When they got here, they came here in what's referred to as a ruach, or a rufa, in a soul or spirit state, an etheric body, the essence of you when you look in a mirror long enough and you realize you're looking from the inside out at your body. If you don't believe me, try it. Stand in the mirror and stay and look at yourself and keep talking to yourself, and you get a realization that the real you is on the inside looking out. This body is a bacteria that's plaguing the soul, the essence of you. In your Bible it says, man, what? I shake man of dust the ground and breathe in the breath of life, and man became a living part of you is called Nefesh Hayim, or Hayat, the life force. Language is key here. You understand me? So you descended down, but before you came down, the beings from above on high, and you, in Dubai Ish, went on high, said if you stay on earth too long, you're going to lose contact with your divinity. You're going to become lured by the attractions of this physical world. You understand? So two schools of thought exist.
the greater and the lesser mysteries. You stay with me?
Yeah.
Here we go. The greater mysteries teach as Yeshua, Isa, Jesus, Sananda, Camus, whatever name you want to give them, whatever cult they get, that your path is back to the bosom of the Father. He says it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. That he was merely the chauffeur to the Father. You follow that? But then he said, I am the Father all one. When you see me, you see the Father. And I am not greater than you. And you'll even do greater wonders than I.
That's right.
And I got to go prepare a place for you that where I may be, you may.
No.
So certain men, or women, and or women, are destined for a journey from here back to the bosom of the Most High. And certain men and or women are destined to stay here and worship. Some beings are perfecting themselves to become God, and other beings will always worship God. People of the lesser mystery are the religious people. They worship God in spirit and in truth, away from themselves. People of the greater mystery are like the uncut stone, it's on that side, Ashlar, that becomes cut to become a perfect stone. Become a part of the building block of the Most High. You with me? Some of you here are of the lesser mystery, and some of you here are of the higher mystery. You have people who grab the higher mystery and play games. I heard a brother say, and it threw me off a little bit. He said, Allah means I. So, A-L-L-A-H. Now, I heard the 5% use it, and I know that they stole it from the Moorish Science Temple, whether they want to admit it or not. Sorry, me. But the sad thing of it is, if you want the truth, or you want me to play the game with anybody else?
Come on with it.
I'm saying that because sometimes when you tell the truth, it's bitter to people. And they get mad at you. They don't really want to hear the whole truth. They want to hear what the man puts in books. And they're real good at referring to white man books.
Right.
And quoting his book against anything a newbie has to say. But I take you directly to the language so you can see it, so you can dispel this part of the stuff right now.
Come on with it.
You with me?
Come on with it.
This word is say Raus. I can write it with Ali, or I can write it with Gua. Raus. And it means head. In Arabic. This word is Zarur. Zarur. And it means arm in Arabic. This word is Rajul. Riddle. And it means leg in Arabic, the ancient language, as well as in Hebrew. You got me? Now, if we're saying we are Asiatic, right? And that the mother language was Arabic, correct? And then we make references to phrases like arm, leg, leg, arm, head, and saying that we are right and exact, then that should match up in Arabic, not in English. A new language.
Come on with it.
English didn't even exist back then. So you grab an Arabic name, Allah, and add on English words, arm, leg, leg, arm, head, and sound head. You understand? The unification is here. The power to bring all those forces, all those incarnations into one being to come back out and solve the problem, whether you accept me or not. I'll tell you what I mean. That means the abbreviation of that one, Darul, for arm in Arabic is Azbet, which is equivalent to a GH. And that is a Re, or a Ra, which is equivalent to an Ara. And this would be another Ara. And this one would be another TH. And this would be another aura. So the word is TH, aura, aura, TH. Not, these type of teachings must be stopped.
Right.
Not by force, but by fact.
Right.
You've got to learn this. So when someone gets up in front of you and pretends to know something, you get that holy brother. That's not right knowledge. That's good information. The kids might like it. It's kindergarten. You let kids in kindergarten play with toys and facts simultaneously. You let them build blocks in a sense that they can build the blocks. But it's not facts. And they say something like, Sam, I am Sam. You say, well, okay, you learn English. Now you walk down the street and say, Sam, I am Sam. Nobody will understand what you're talking about. But that's kindergarten level, so you let Dr. Zeus, get in there. It doesn't frighten you. But now we are at the end of time when all the so-called great teachers have taught what they came to teach. They all have so-called finished what they say that everything the Nation of Islam is going to teach has been taught. You understand? Everything that the good brother Noble Drew Ali himself was here to teach has been
taught.
The same applies to the gods and the earth, five ascended, and etc. And as I watch with a keen eye at all the teachings out there, I wait to hear that something new or that something special that would let me know that another God had incarnated. I want to hear things that would cue in that he is not or she is not trapped in the mind tetrahedron of persons, places, and things. And he's thinking outside of that realm, which would tell me he's a visitor, not a resident. He would do it a little differently. You understand? I'll do it piece by piece. So this has got to go. As old information. I, self, Lord, and Master. I, Anna, self, Nef, Lord, Rev, and Twa, Master, Molan. Okay? I, this is an A, it's an Alif, it's not an I, which would come off as an Ein, as in the name Aesop. Where they write I-S-A in their own books. This is a different letter than the Arabic letter Ali. Just like in Hebrew, I write the Ali or I write the Ein. This is equivalent to the Ein, and this is equivalent to the Ali, which I'll get into El and Al for the Most High again if you need it. So again, we have Anna, I. Self, Nef, Lord, Rab, and that's not Lord in Arabic. Rab comes from the word to sustain. There is no equivalent to L-O-R-D in Arabic. However, in Hebrew, we do have one. Baal. Baal, the Babylonian statue called Lord or Lord. You understand? And then Master, Molana. All that means is a teacher. So no, that word Islam does not break down to I, self, Lord, and Master. And you left the other A out in Arabic. Because the word is written like this in Arabic. And that's there in the second A. The Ali, or Lam Ali. And the word comes from the root word Salama, peace, not submission. Submission would be a new word created when they added a shadda to double the L. telling them. And if I was telling my brother, I'd say, Tesla, do you surrender in a headlock? I want to be the other way. He said, I'd be in a headlock. He'd be going, Tesla, in Arabic. Understand? And he would know, I surrender. Well, you see what I'm telling you? These things is what's keeping us back. These things is what's making the people out there not realize who their Most High is today. In person. The wisest amongst you is to lead you to the Father. Not the wisest amongst you is the Father. I am not my Father. I am of my Father. I am not Jesus. I am not the Messiah. If I'm not Esau, don't let the Sunnis put that crap out there. They need that. So that's all they know. That's all they know what? That's all they know how to attack is the obvious. When I say I'm Malachi the God or Melchizedek, the Muslims don't have a dialogue for that. So they can't address it, so they say, well, we know about Dr. York. They can't say, well, what's Melchizedek? What's that Arabic? They don't know. Nebi Khidir, El Khidir, the Greek one. Then some Arabs say, oh, that's what he's talking about. No, he ain't that. They said, what did that do? And how do you know that? You follow what I'm saying? And then that is blank. This must go. You with me? This is old information. This information was taught to you about us. You understand? Now, one of us is here to teach you what you're supposed to know about yourself.
Right.
And I'll tell you how it happens and how it happens. Alright? It starts up here in another realm. The Quran calls it Ilyun. Muslims nowhere in any of their tafsir, which means explanations of the Quran, have been able to explain what that meant. They all invaded. Oh, it's a place where good records are kept. You say a place like in Makan, a place? And then a place, Makan? So where is this place? It's in heaven. They want to go into mythology. And when you try to combine it to the fact of, so are you saying there is an Allah who was here on earth and created beings with the help of his angels, and then as the Quran says, he left the earth and he went to the heaven to sit on an ox, a throne? Can you do that with me? They go, yeah. So there is a throne somewhere in heaven where God sits on it? Yes, and God has a buttock to sit. Blasphemy, they'll yell. But it's classic. You say God is in heaven? I say God is heaven. Because if God is in heaven, then heaven is bigger than God. You with me? And how could heaven be bigger than Allah? But they'll say, oh, he's the Almighty. He's in, deep, inside the heaven. So if Allah is inside the heaven, who's the biggest? And Allah is inside the heaven, and the heavens must be bigger than Allah, then Allah is not who Akbar. Allah is Akbar, is the greatest. That's not what the word translates. The word Akbar comes from the word Kabir, meaning big. The biggest, or the oldest. So if Allah is Allahu Akbar, then he is the biggest and oldest. You can leave that off. You follow what I'm saying? And how could he therefore be in the heaven? How could Jesus' Father be in the heaven? Wouldn't he be the heaven?
Right.
Wouldn't he be the all?
Yeah.
Wouldn't all things be within him and nothing outside? El Kaloom. And you too should say, I am in the all. And all is in me, not and the all is in me. But I am a part of the all. The all is a part of me. That's what they're saying. That's taking you to the next level of divinity as a quantum existing being. You follow? Alright. So now, these beings, according to your Bible, came down as we spoke about last week and was hovering above the water. You know what Genesis says? And the Spirit of God moved upon the surface of the water. God was not moving on the land. God was not standing on the land. God was moving on the surface of the water. You see why the Christians got that Jesus walk on water? Because they had to try to make him look like God. You understand? They want to put his father out of position and put his son in, like all corporations do. Didn't work. Now, but what did it say? Upon the face of the deep. That means the deep is dealing with the sea. Women? So some beings who were in the sea was looking up at the Spirit of God moving across the water while land was still boho and toho, as Hebrew puts it. Void and
without form.
And darkness. Void and darkness, without form. So the planet was in a dark state because the sun's light could not get through. You follow? And a dust cloud covered the planet. And certain beings called Elohim, which is a plural, in Hebrew, Alif Lamet Hey Yad Mem, a plural being, these Eloh, or where Muslims get Allah, in plural, Allah, in the Quran, God, they came. You follow? They came and they looked at the condition of this once fertile place. That's why they said replenish, refill. They were going to fill it again. It's like when you have a swimming pool in your backyard. You follow? And you dress it and prepare it in the summer, and when the winter comes, you cover it up and all kind of mildew comes. Come the season again, you got to clean it away, pull the cover off, let the sunlight come in, clean out the pool, get all the mildew and the fungus out, put in fresh water and chemicals to make it usable again. God, you do it every time. You replenish that pool.
All right.
Is that not right?
That's right.
The beings came. The Quran calls them the Malaika, which is Allah, or the Nephilim, or the Neturu, or the Shishogi, or the Kachina, whatever language you want to come from, you want to play Native American, we'll do that. Your father came down and saw the condition of the planet, but a being that was talking was looking from the bottom of the sea, because he said, in the beginning, right? Let me stop right there. In the beginning, what does the word stop with? Being. I'm going to give you all a secret that should be kept sacred. But I'm going to give it to you. You know why I'm giving it to you? You're going to say why? Because you've never heard it before. And with all the teachers that have been teaching you for your so-called 400 years of slavery for those who came from Africa and those who are already here, because both of us have been here, right?
Right.
All these so-called teachers are supposed to be bringing you information. They don't have certain keys. Keys that tell you they're standing outside of persons, places, and things.
Right.
Once I say this, it's going to pop up in books, like everything else I say.
Right.
Nobody's going to give me the credit. They're just going to start, you know, over there and writing all this. The Nubian people, we the Nubian, they never heard of this again.
Yeah.
And I'll explain Nubian if you need it. I'm going to give you a secret here. Beginning. Women, the first word in the Torah is Bereshit. Say it.
Bereshit.
The first letter in that word is the Hebrew word Bet. Equivalent to what you would call in English, B. Yeah? and step into the Bible or the New Testament. When the first word in the first book of the New Testament, which is called the book of Matthew, is Bibulus in Greek. Say Bibulus. And it means little.
Hey, book. Hey, y'all.
Little book. It's a Greek letter for leaf.
With me?
The first word in the Quran is Bismillah. And if they say, no, 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 brother, before that, the Tasmiyah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, how they say it corrupted, was the fifth revelation of Muhammad. It wasn't the first, but the first was Iqra. I said, right, the first was Iqra. Someone said to Muhammad, Iqra. And then when he told him what to read, he said, Iqra what? So the B is there again. Bismi. In the Arabic letter. You with me?
Alright,
come on. The three letters B that has been passing through the scriptures given to you has been controlled by the Magus. The Magus. The SCNs. Today, you may call them the Masonic Order for the Freemasons. You follow? They have been protectors of the scripture under the name Knights of Templar for thousands of years. For those who know, no. And the key number on the back of the dollar bill is what? Say it loud. The key number is 13. Say the alphabet. A, B,
C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M,
E. 13, M, Mason, Metta, Latin word for matter, or mother, and son, Ma, son, protector of Mary and Jesus, the real one. This is information that has been kept secret for far too long from you. Now I want the teachers to see this information in frustration. Now he's going to inflame the population with it. This information. Note it now as the first time you heard it. And note later on, your teachers will be getting up and using it and never recognize who the Most High is, who has the most information for this day and time. Note, it's been a spiritual journey. I can't give y'all with so much light. There are two Illuminati. There's the Illuminati of the amber light, and there's the Illuminati of the green light. You have been the Illuminati before you initiated them into the order of the Illuminati. You gave them the amber light. When? When Michael taught Lucifer. And Lucifer rebelled in the heavens and was cast down here. And was given the right to socialize and walk side by side with the angels. Look in the book of Job. When the angels go back to the heaven, Lucifer's with them again. After all he's done as a Luciferian, he's still an Elohim. He's just a Wah, not a Yah. He's Wah and Yah is where they get the word Yahweh from. Yah is a cuneiform for good, and Wah is a cuneiform for disagreeable or evil. Yahweh was Tammuz's name, as he brought the Enlilites and the Enkiites into one family. Or Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt into one family, Amun and the Ra, which goes into another story. So these beings, you, the heavenly ones, came down to earth, you follow? And mixed in with human beings. And some of them married the daughters of men and produced mighty wives seek children. Genesis chapter 6. But the claim was that Tammuz, referred to as my spirit in Genesis chapter 6, will not always be with man, for he is also flesh. His days shall be 120. The lifespan of the Elohim is 1,000 years each of your time. But he had to leave at 120. That's Genesis chapter 6. That's not talking about Jesus. My spirit shall not always talk with man, for he but flesh. The days shall be 120.
Come on with it.
That's the Talmud that's been assigned to you by the Anunnaki. A name they don't want to talk about. Zachariah Sitchin and these guys are now talking about Anunnaki in this later day and time. Because they knew the ancient ones were coming forth again. They knew that incarnations were going to start happening again. They knew they had to drug you. They had to suppress you. They had to intoxicate you with alcohol beverages. And when that didn't work, because old days, our fathers and grandfathers stayed drunk all the blue. When that was not strong enough to suppress the God in you, you know, they moved on into heroin. And all throughout the 50s and the 60s, they had us down on heroin. And when heroin couldn't hold us down, but we could kick heroin, it came on with a new method, a methadone. Was supposed to kick the heroin and it got you addicted to the methadone. And that couldn't hold us down. So it came out with dust, prepared for angels to sprinkle you. It was sprinkling angel dust over our neighborhood. Have us hallucinating, but they knew the power of the hippocampus area in our brain, and that was a contact with the Most High. So they got the hallucinatory part of our brain deadened by drugs. And when you couldn't afford angel dust, and you couldn't afford cocaine, they lowered the price and said, crack it. Penetrate that skull by any means possible. Crack his head open. Eat his brains. And we start burning ourselves out on a pipe of crack. You know what? You're kicking that too.
Catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Donna Coleon Show, Rock Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, or GeorgiaGasper.com.
WGAG Radio.
Hi, this is Mitch Henry, introducing to you the most exciting news for all you independent artists, musicians, and even authors. We are IndieHeat.com, and we want to make your dreams and ambitions a reality. Start submitting your material now to IndieHeat.com before everyone knows about this limited time offer. Your submissions are half off. That's right, half off the regular price. So pick up the phone and call us now. Start making money on your material. You deserve it. At IndieHeat.com, you're just a click away from a hit.
I'm out in the street.
Yo, get ready for the hardest mixtape of the year. David Blaine, R&B, straight drop, brought to you by Trap for All the Mixtape. This mixtape features Waka Flocka, Gucci Mane,
and Baby Juice Man,
Kai, Jack Moon, 50/20 Gimp, Sick as Dane, and more. Be on the lookout for On Fire. Get to the paper. Cooper, Believe and Last Up. Available on Live Mixtape at DavidBladeOnline.com.
You rock it like the best to ever do it. Them other ones work it, but they ain't getting into it. You got them heels on, laced up and juicy. Mixed up fingernails, let me see if you can. Bop, bop, bounce to the beat. You see me in a white tux, but I keep it street. You want me to spin, but no problem for me.
With a show that's more fire, with hot topics and real answers to life's questions, and providing healing for your soul. It's the all-new Donna Colleone Show, podcasting live weekdays at noon Eastern Standard Time on WGNG Radio.
Number one sports connoisseur in cyberspace, giving you the latest updates in sports, current events, and hot topics. Tune in every Friday night at 11 o'clock with Nefertiti, Surviving the Game, only on WGAG Radio.
Don't believe me, just watch, nigga, don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch, nigga,
don't
believe me, just
watch.
I want you to try and tell us everything that happened. Anything you can remember. Anything you can
remember. I just want to tell the truth. The truth. The truth.
There's your truth, my truth, and the truth. People say one thing and do another. We call them hypocrites. This is Queenie Fama, the truth terror. And that's what I look for. I look for the truth. Join me on Sundays on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. That's Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/Queen-Ifama. I look forward to seeing you 6 p.m. on Sundays. Come join me. Let's get down to the butt naked truth. Hotep, everybody.
I just want to tell the truth. The truth. The truth!
Members of Congress expressed optimism Sunday about the prospects for reaching a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff.
Fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is entering its third full day, and both Israelis and Palestinians.
Bottom line, Senator, if the president nominates Ambassador Rice to be the next Secretary of State or some other.
Supplementary question. Do you personally believe that gay people are born gay?
Impact segment tonight, the Talking Points memo.
Hot damn politics.
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 Hot damn
politics.
Hot damn politics.
Hot damn
politics.
Hot damn politics.
I'm back now with the Brain Trust panel.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust panel.
These niggas won't hold me back. These niggas won't hold me back. These niggas won't hold me back. These niggas won't hold me back.
The Brain Trust panel.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust panel.
Hot diggity damn politics.
I put that shit on everybody.
Hot damn politics. Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Only on WGAG Radio.
The Don Colleone After Party, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PowTalk.com. All you need is a microphone, a headset. You can use your Android phone or your iPhone. You can download the app that the internet for the Don Colleone After Party. You mean I can get down like that? I can download the app for PowTalk? That's right. You can join us via Georgia Gossip, Facebook. It all goes down here. Controversy in the room. Oh, my God. Can we talk about a lot of shit here? Let me tell you something. Come on down to the Don Colleone After Party and check us out where we sit here and have mad debates. It is a lot. Hottest chat room where controversy goes down. If there's a conversation, it goes down at the Don Colleone After Party. So join us via Facebook and Georgia Gossip. Come on down and do what you do while we do what we do. soon in our town. Check us out at PowerTalk.com. Don McCody on After Party. We'll be looking for you.
All Eyes on Egypt presents the Holy Tablet, backed by popular demand. Written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zadok Yoel, the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change. Like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. At All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia, 706-468-2319.
WGAG Radio, 33 Degrees Entertainment, Georgia Gossip, in association with Sublime Oracles and Gold Diggers Incorporated, introducing a new series entitled Dr. Malachi Z. York Debates with Christians, which has been transformed to a dynamic audio play. Produced and directed by Don Nicolione, the Brain Trust presents a reenactment of actual discussions and debates in a computer form. Please welcome Debate Series Part 1.
Yo, what's good? What's going on? What's the topic about?
Oh, hey there, Earl.
Listen up, man. Be quiet.
Let me tell you, Jesus and only Jesus Christ can keep God's law. He fulfilled the works of his Father for us. With the death of his Son, he paid for our sins.
If Jesus is the only one who can keep God's law, then why are you Christians promoting law? And if Jesus had to die, then he is not God. If God becomes less than God, then he is not God. I don't need a crutch. I don't need a God. That's all you guys' problem. You need that shoulder to cry on, not me.
Damn, Max, that's interesting that you feel that way, huh?
You're lying, aren't you, Max?
Yeah.
Max, both Jesus and the Pope loves you.
Look, the Pope is a man just like Jesus was a man. And the Pope don't know me, so he couldn't love me.
Yes, and he could feed you also.
Multi-millionaires feed themselves. Keisha, your God needs to feed the millions of people that are starving in this country, as well as every country on earth. I've traveled the world and have seen with my own eyes people suffering all over the world. Now tell me, why does your God allow this?
Damn, sounds like I came in a heated debate.
Yeah, it's going to get even hotter because Max is blaspheming the name of God.
Look, I am merely asking questions about God by whatever name you call him, regardless of what denomination or Christian sect you belong to.
Max, let me address something. I was a millionaire married to someone in the film industry. We lost all of our money. Be careful. Money, people, friends, all things can be lost, vanished overnight.
Okay, so that is when you turn to Jesus Christ, right? Once you lost all your fame and fortune, God became your crutch and best friend, instead of you working yourself up to that point and status again so that you can live good. And if you always had faith in God, then why didn't God protect your money? Can you tell me that?
God protect your money.
Your money cannot buy or save your soul when it's time to die.
Money can't buy or save my soul when it's time to die, huh?
Like
only God can, right?
For real.
You want to talk about God's love? This is another example of how much God loves you. If the average human doesn't take care of himself, he and she will look like monsters and smell. Imagine if you didn't take the time to clean, moisturize, or manicure your nails and pedicure your toenails. You would have dry, patched skin with rashes, calluses, and dirt under them. Just picture that. If the toothbrush, toothpaste, dental floss, mouthwash, or dentist weren't invented, imagine what your teeth would look like. What about hair accessories such as shampoo, People have lice in their hair and dandruff when there's conditioner, sprays, oils, gel, combs, brushes, whether you perm it or curl it or straighten it or dye it. Remember, blacks and whites do all of this to their hair, and I'm sure you could think of many other things. But people would have matted hair with all kinds of sores on their scalp. Just look at any homeless person on the street who is unkempt. How does their hair look? How do they smell? And what do they look like if they don't wash their ass? Maybe God should install an automatic ass washer for everybody.
Well,
how about that? And not to mention, if there was no soap, bath crystals, shower gels, bath towels and washcloths, and all other things that humans have created to add to their bath to make them smell good, and let's not forget about deodorant, which controls underarm perspiration. Imagine a world without that. You'd be left a human stripped bare. Now, what if there was no such thing as a shaver, a razor, a shaving cream? Just think of what humans would really look like. What if there weren't any suppressive drugs for the mentally insane? What if institutions weren't built to house murderers, thieves, and rapists?
Fuck the police!
So what's your point?
Just a minute, shorty. The mobilization of humanity would be at a standstill if they didn't make a wagon or put the burden on animals to pull them around. Man, not God, finally developed boats, trains, airplanes, and automobiles. Transportation also aided in racism, because if there weren't any boats, then John Hawkins or Prince Henry wouldn't have been able to get to Africa and pick up slaves.
Prince Henry.
What the fuck is she talking about?
What the fuck I'm talking about? I tell you what the fuck I'm talking
about. Get to the point.
And the point is, without all of these simple creations and discoveries by humans, just think what you would look like. You'd be sick, diseased, filthy, nasty, hairy, have foul odors, be blind, deaf, and destructive. My point being, these are all of the things you'd be without your own help. Do you know what it would be like? Try to imagine.
Damn, I never thought of it like that. That's some shit.
I know you didn't, because if you did, you'd have a different outlook on life.
That's what's up. So are you saying that we are our own God?
Yes, you got it. And to put it simply, God is anything or anybody that is in control.
Will the Christians be able to convert Max, or will Max be able to break the spell of Christianity? Be sure to listen in and hear what happens next week. Part 2 of Dr. Malachi Z. York's debate series with Christians, only on WGAG Radio.
It's the God Sakim Ra.
Oh.
It's the God Sakim Ra.
Oh.
It's the God Sakim Ra.
Oh. They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
Don Nicoleone, man.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for. They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
Don Nicoleone, man.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
It's the God Sakim Ra.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
Don Nicoleone, man.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
WGAG Radio.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for.
WGAG Radio.
Birthday. It's your birthday.
If I die, bury me in St. Louis.
They ask me what I do and who I do it for. And how I come up with this shit up in the studio. All I want for my birthday is a
Don Nicoleone, man.
All I want for my birthday is a
Don Nicoleone, man.
When I die, bury me in St. Louis style. When I die, bury me in St. Louis style. All I want for my birthday.
Don Nicoleone, man.
All I want for my birthday.
Yeah, what up? It's the God, Sakim Ra. You chilling with Don Nicoleone, man. Your big booty girl. WGAG Radio, now from Brooklyn, you heard?
Got a big booty, so I call him Big Booty.
Skirt, skirt.
Wrist moving, cookie getting to it.
Cookie.
I'm in the kitchen.
I'm in the kitchen.
Jams everywhere.
Damn.
Just made a juice.
Yeah,
I got fans everywhere.
Man.
You the realest nigga breathing if I hold my
breath. Damn. Referee with a whistle. Hold his tag. Extend no clip. Extend no roll. When your girl leave me, she need a hair salon. Have weed killers going on the chopper thumb. See, I done had more bones than Pakistan. I'm ballin', you in real call. When I die, bury me inside the jury style. When I die, bury me inside the truest style. True to my religion, to everything, I'm too different. So when I die, bury me next to
Don Nicolion, man. Don Nicolion, man.
You're listening to Don Nicolion Show at WGAG Radio.
You already know I'm with Don Nicolion, InTheHeat.com, Big Heat and Alien.
Already.
Already. And we doing it like that. Finna go eat some vegetarian spaghetti.
Yo, what up? It's Devon Stevens right here with my girl, Don Nicolion.
What's up, y'all? This is Chaka Zulu with Don Nicolion on InTheHeat.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Q Parker. Y'all, I'm chilling here with my girl, Don Nicolion, right? And it's InTheHeat.com. Keep it right here, y'all, all right?
What's happening? It's the man, Farnsworth Bentley, a.k.a. the Penguin, a.k.a. the Cool Out Racist Lover of Uniquely Raw Style, a.k.a. the owner of the world's largest walk-in closet. I'm representing right now with my girl, Dawn Nicolion. Don't bite. Biting is still a cardinal sin. Don't be biting and swagger. They call it swagger jacking and still try to sneak it in and do it. Don't be biting this girl's name. Find your own. So I'm representing for her. All right? Let's go. And this is IndieHeat.com. Find another website to hate on.
Hi, I'm Tamika Raymond. I'm chilling with my girl, Don Nicolion, for IndieHeat.com.
Yo, what's going on? Give it up for Miss Butterlove herself, my baby mama, Nicolion. You know what it is. IndieHeat.com. You know what? We in the heat. It's hot in the ATL. Go check it out. Hit the web. Grab your mouse. Grab your laptop. Grab your desktop. Grab your iPad, iPod. IndieHeat.com. This all real from next. Holla at you.
It's Lifestyle Specialist Kenny Burns. You rock on my sister from another mister, Don Nicolion and IndieHeat.com. Now look in the mirror and touch yourself.
Don Nicolion is the first ever on Blog Talk Radio to podcast underground artists like you. Her motto is, the world has to know who you are. She can bring that which is underground to the surface, to the world. You might as well call her the world promoter. She can not only spin your record on her show, she can have your song played on frequent rotations in over 500,000 syndicated, unsyndicated radio podcast broadcast stations throughout the world. They don't call her done for nothing. To have your record played on constant rotation, email radio.promotemysong@gmail.com.
Advertise with WGAG Radio. We're here for your advertising needs. Email WGAG.advertise@gmail.com. The best way to advertise. WGAG Radio.
Follow Don Nicolion on Facebook and Twitter. Or join our social network on the World Wide Web. GeorgiaGossip.com.
Mr. Don Nicolion Show. No worries. You can download or listen to past episodes of Don Nicolion Archive on blogtalkradio.com/WGAG-radio.
Still can't find another girl that could steal.
get a mic check up in this motherfucker. Y'all already know what time it is. Turn your motherfucking radio up. It's the one and only Don Nicole Young.
Know all my bad bitches, I can see your halo. Judah. Now it's me and my time, it's just me and my prime. Everything I try to teach them, they gon' see it in time. Tell them bitches get a stick, I'm done leading the blind. So all my bad bitches, I could see your halo. See, that's the eye of the tiger, the lion of Judah. Now it's me and my time, it's just me and my prime. Everything I try to teach them, they gon' see it in time. Tell them bitches get a stick, I'm done leading the blind. So all my bad bitches, I could see your halo. All the girls will come in, as long as they understand.
Yeah, I've been doing this shit since I was 18. Can't none of y'all hoes touch this shit. Y'all bitches been hollering 4 years on BTR. Check my resume, bitch. Y'all hoes elementary to this shit. Universal knowledge, done master this motherfucker. Come up to my level.
On materialistic ass, common desire, stink, ugly ass. Vibrating low on a different level ass, bitch. We can't touch this shit, bitch. The best bitch doing it. That's right. The best bitch doing it is Kathy Lee. Put your hands together for the woman of the hour, Dawn Nicoleon.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much, man. Welcome. Welcome to the Dawn Nicoleon Show on WGAG Radio. 12 noon, baby, is when we get this show started, Eastern Standard Time. Please believe it, Monday through Friday. To all my bad bitches, I can see your halo shouting. One time for everybody in the chat rooms, also on BTR and the Don Nicoleon after party and in the car lines, man. I hope y'all having a wonderful Thursday. This is January the 25th in this thing, baby. You already know it, man. What's good with you? Antichrist 666 is in the building. Big Save, East Coast. What's happening with you, baby? Such a beautiful day in Zamunda, man. One time for my fairy godmother, Get Real. All the guests tuning in. I Be That I Am is in the building. Ja L. Bay, Living Soul Journey, Miss Black Melanie Rising. Mel Mel is in the fucking house. What's good with you, Mel? Michelle Denise, our math MD, is in the building. Nefertiti surviving the game. Queen Vita, J Illa, J1 is in the building. Yanni, what the fuck y'all tweeting? Y'all on that Twitter? Now she's sucking on my Twitter. Let me give a special shout out to my girl, Miss Jackson, Black Aquarius, GJ Sutt in the after party, King Jicks. Jams World 89.3 DC, my man, come on at 12 a.m. Monday mornings. Y'all make sure y'all check that out. Jay Illa, once again, my boy Mush Mouse, Farasha 9, Pretty Brown Eyes is in the building. Self-guided, Wing Chong, man, everybody is in this thing, man. One time for Nefertiti, also simulcasting into the after party from the Don Nicoleon Show. You already know how we treat the after party members, man. We do our best to dog them out. You feel me? I don't know, but y'all niggas done got real fucking comfortable in the after party, motherfucker. Y'all motherfuckers don't help with shit. Y'all niggas done got. You see what happened? You see what happened when you give niggas free shit? You see that shit now? You see what happened? Fuck around, the lights get turned off, and niggas are still sitting in the dark, won't they? You notice that shit, right? Them niggas will not even turn the lights back on. They be like, lights off. Lights off, Neff. Neff, done. Lights off. No electricity in this bitch. Like, that's just fucking sitting there and shit. That shit is fucking incredible, boy. One time for all my niggas in the after party, man. Brain Trust, please stand up. Speaking of the Brain Trust, man, I give a special shout out to the one and only Firelinist Nefertiti, Babylon Dunn, and a few others that actually called in to the show last night. Hot Damn Politics, Episode 9, baby. You're trying to kill me? Please believe it, man. One time for all y'all, my nigga Midas Touch also came through. Yeah. Such an honor. Such an honor always, man. It is certainly such an honor, man. I just have to do it like that. Great day to you too, Melanie Wise, and great day to everyone. It's a great day and time. Great and dreadful day, they say, but it's certainly a great day and time. Just stay connected. Stay plugged into the source. Speaking of this shit, right, because I'm on this money thing now, you know. There's certain parts that I used to read back in the days of Dr. York books, and I would always bypass the money, you know what I'm saying, when he would explain the monetary system and a lot of that stuff, because at that time in my life, I wasn't interested in you know, in that shit, you know, in the whole dynamics of money. And I got to give a special shout-out to my man, Ron Sheck, the master, and you know. Y'all will be hearing a lot from his music and all of that. And he actually kind of sparked something in me, because he and I are working on a song called Money. And I just got to finish my verse. But, you know, it kind of, you know, activated certain things as far as the money. And I know we talk about it a lot, especially in the after party. And I gotta certainly give a special shout-out to my man, Yosef L., Private Side Solutions, baby. He actually has a show on BTR that comes on, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on BTR. And it's finished probably around this time. I think it's over like about 1 o'clock or 12:30. But so I've been on this money thing, you know, for a while. And I know, you know, we talked about it. But what's interesting is that because I have to do a verse on my nigga Ron Sheck's song, you know what I'm saying? I'm featured on it, please believe it. You know, Don Nicole, y'all don't get down like that. You feel what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I ain't a jack of all trades. I'm a Mac of all trades. Please believe it. Please believe it, bitch. Please believe it. Anyway, so it allowed me to go further into investigation on this dollar shit. But first, I mean, if I may, is it okay if I share with y'all what I read? Oh, and also the number 13. I don't know where my nigga Dez at. He probably is resting. And I know we got a lot of 13s, people on number 13. And it's not to take your love away from the number 13 as well. I just want to share something that I've read in regards to what we talked about. I can, Antichrist? Okay. It's going to take a minute, though, so y'all got to bear with me. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna take a minute to, you know, because it was a lot of bits and pieces that I read, especially in the Millennium book. I believe that's part two of the Millennium book written by Dr. York. This book came out, you know what I'm saying? It was written before night. It was written in the 1990s, in the 1999s, about the Millennium and what to expect. He wrote several books in regards to what's going to happen in the year 2000 and beyond. And so this one particular book is the Millennium book, but the book that actually led me to basically get into reading, you know what I'm saying, until I just completely zoomed the fuck out, was actually Leviathan 666. So it's like kind of like two books. But I think I'm going to go into Leviathan 666. And that book originally, if I'm not mistaken, it came out in the 70s, revised, and then revised again. And I happen to have, like, the second revision of the Leviathan 666. I'm not sure what part I have. I'm not sure what part that I read from, but I'll tell y'all in a minute. But just give me a few seconds, because this year here, it takes a minute to get into this money, the dollar, and all this other type of stuff and how it was all set up. But it was quite interesting because a question was asked to him, why would he call the dollar a debt note? Sound familiar, right? Sounds very familiar. Why would you call it a debt note and all this other type of shit? Mind you, this information is long-time information that, you know, I guess it gave us everything that we needed to know, because who would have think that this information would still be relevant today? I guess as long as the dollar bill exists, huh? All right, so let me try to figure out where am I going with this, because it's a lot. Y'all gotta be patient with me now, because it's a lot. I gotta find what I first saw in Leviathan 666. and The Spell of Kingu, for those that don't know. I'm sure some of y'all know. But in this book, you know, it talks about the different coins, like the barber half dollar and all that other type of stuff. It talks about the different treasury notes of 1809. Very interesting book. I don't know how many people actually had this book. Okay, and it goes into Freemasonry and blah, 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 blah. Now, what I'm trying to find is where I started at. So that's why I said be patient with a player like myself. All right, here we go. Now, if I'm not mistaken, they talk about the Phoenix. I'm not sure if the Phoenix was actually on the dollar bill or not. See, now I'm just completely lost. You know what I'm saying? Because first you just open up a book and the shit was just right there. Because I was looking to find information on the dollar. Anybody got a dollar on them? Anybody have a dollar on them? Pull out your dollar, because then you'll be able to follow what we're going to be talking about. Well, what I'm going to be reading, even though a lot of us already know it, maybe this is just a refresher course. Because it talks about the web and everything else and the five-pointed star. Okay, here we go. Let me see where I'm going to take it at. Okay, let me take my time. Okay, here we go. I could have sworn I folded the damn page. You feel me? It don't even look like that shit is in this thing. Hold up. I told y'all to bear with me. Hold up. Because it's a damn lot. Okay, promissory note. This is kind of interesting, too. Because, All right, here we go. All right, so if you got a, do they still, yeah. Okay, remember they changed the symbols on a whole bunch of shit. All right, here we go. So I'm going to take my time. I will take my time on this one, okay? Now, the symbolism of the number 13 on the dollar bill. I forgot who told me this. Somebody mentioned it in the chat room. We were talking about the number 13. And said that, you know, there's a whole bunch of symbolism on the dollar bill of the number 13. So now the question is that basically the real significance of the number 13, which frequently appears on the Great Seal of the United States of America and the dollar, is by no means limited to the 13 original colonies. The number 13 relates to Friday the 13th, which is not really a bad day or number. According to Ralph Epperson, author of The New World Order, he states that the Freemasons claims the number 13 as their own and to have Freemasonic significance, and it is the value assigned to Satan, basically. I don't know if y'all was able to get that. And it is the value assigned to Satan. Friday the 13th represents the new day of prostration, okay? You see, Friday is the day Muslims attend the masjid, or what is known as Juma, the day of gathering. The new day represents the 13th hour, or the period of time beginning after the year 2000 AD, in which the entire universe will be in peace and in tune. This will be so because the holy war, jihad, or jihad to some, with Leviathan and his agents will have been fought and won. This is providing that we, the Holy Tabernacle Ministries, complete our mission of establishing the New Jerusalem, the city of peace, and raising 144,000 by the end of the world. If we are successful, we shall live in peace, and the devil and his hosts will no longer rule over us. The United States flag has 13 stripes, and the original colonies have 13 in number: Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. These colonies became the 13 original states, 13 original states after the War of Independence, fought between the colonists and the British. You can tell the Canaanite, does not really regard the number 13 as unlucky, or he would omit the letter B from the alphabet and omit the letter B from the dollar bill. If you notice that there's a B on the dollar bill, I don't know if y'all noticed. I told you I take out a dollar bill. Maybe you can see the B on it. The letter B is the one, the number one and the three joined together. Now, do you really think the number 13 is a bad number, or is it just that you've been indoctrinated with this myth to keep you from the real truth? In number, in a coven of witches, is traditionally 13. 12 members, and the 13th member is the Grand Master, the devil. The types of activities performed in these covens varied in degrees of rituals, rites, and worship. Here's a quote coming from William Joshua Sutton. It's an excerpt from the New Age movement in the Illuminati 666. And it says, and I quote, To show some more subliminal warfare of the devil by his people, let us look at the number 13 to see its importance to these conspirators. The number to witches is a most powerful magical number in practicing warlocky. 13 witches stand within the Pentagon, the center of the five-pointed star, and call on spirit guides, similar spirits, such as go to Deuteronomy 18:11 if you need it, which in reality, demons and the witches control them to do their bidding. Okay? If you look carefully at the dollar bill or one $5 bill, and one of the $1 bills are silver certificates, not Federal Reserve notes. So basically, more on the dollar bill, what is the difference between these bills? If you look carefully, you'll be able to see that one $5 bill and one of the $1 bills are silver certificates, not Federal Reserve notes, if you look carefully. A silver certificate now is one issued prior to 1971. This is the difference between a silver certificate and a reserve note, a Federal Reserve note. Are y'all following me on this? Okay, good, G. All right, so a silver certificate was issued prior to 1971 AD. A Federal Reserve note was issued after 1971 AD. A silver note, value of the bill is based on the in God, that's a quote, which is the United States government. This certificate there is on deposit of the treasury. The amount stated on the face of the bill in silver. Now, the flip side of the Federal Reserve is, a Federal Reserve note is, the value is based on trust, the pale man's God is Nimrod. And that's in quote. So you got to look at, is there a difference? Are y'all able to see the difference? You look in, J1? Okay. So the Federal Reserve note value is based on trust. Again, the silver certificate value of the bill is based on in God. Okay? Value is based on trust. For the Federal Reserve note, the pale man, God is Nimrod, who organized them into the first civilization in the city of Babylon. Now, the flip side of the silver certificate on the dollar bill is a certificate. Certificate is a signed written testimony to the truth of something. And then on the flip side of one of those dollar bills, the $1 bill or the $5 bill, it talks about a note. On the Federal Reserve note, a note. You see the word note? A note, a written or printed paper recognizing a debt and promising payment. A bank note or other form of payment that is current money to recognize the existence or presence of to record or fix in the mind. And then there's another one on the silver certificate of the $5 bill, $1 bill. That's the difference. Dollars payable to the bearer upon demand. And, of course, on the federal note, you'll have nothing. Basically nothing. So did you know that ever since 1971, during ex-president Nixon's term of office, the dollar ceased to be backed by silver or gold? There has been no true international gold standard since the end of World War I, when gold could no longer be freely converted. In 1933 AD, the U.S. abandoned the managed gold standard. The world is now on a dollar standard. Okay, so you know there's two different standards. One was the managed gold standard. Now this is the dollar standard. And that's basically allowing the United States monetary policy, which is set up by the Federal Reserve, to have a major effect on world economy. The dollar is the unit in terms of which the exchange rates of other currencies are expressed. Now, other countries maintain their official exchange notes, like pounds, francs, marks, pesos, etc. By buying and selling United States dollars and holding United States dollars as their main reserve currency, your dollar has no real value. Its worth is assigned to it by the privately owned Federal Reserve Bank, basically. Okay? Now, mind you, United States, which I just found out that that's the purpose of the Federal Reserve, because the United States is in debt to that private company, the Federal Reserve. That's the purpose. That's the point. Yeah. Just dawned on me like a while ago, like, duh, I'm a little slow on that. Anyway, the question is, what do you mean when you say the dollar has no value? The dollar you presently hold has no real value. It is simply a note recognized as a medium of exchange or a medium of control. It is a promissory note, which according to the American Heritage Dictionary is promissory, a written promise to pay or repay a specified sum of money at a stated time or on demand, also called note of hand. Do I need to type that in now? Note of hand. And it's so interesting because do y'all remember way back in the days how they would rob a bank, they would pass the teller a note? Y'all remember that? They would pass the teller a note. What do you think was on that goddamn note? Give me the money? Bullshit. They would pass the teller a note. That's how they robbed the bank, so-called. That's what they told us. It was in the form of bank robbery when they would pass the teller a note. Nah, what the fuck was on that note? Anyway. So, it is not even a note in the original sense of the word because it doesn't promise any payment. Yet, you base your entire life around the dollar bill because the devil has fixed in your mind the so-called power of the almighty dollar. There is no power in money unless you have power. Again, there is no power in money unless you have power. You gotta love that part. Anyone can issue a piece of paper. Anyone can issue a piece of paper. That is all that money is. But you have to have power in order to say that it is of worth. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm going backwards now. As you see, the devil controls people's lives through the dollar, and by this stronghold, he further entraps you in the spell of Leviathan. So the devil controls people's lives through the dollar. This is why so many motherfuckers is caught out there right now. The history of money and economics and the manipulation of money can be traced back to ancient Babylon. There are always those people who understand money and are able to rob those who don't have inside knowledge and those who don't even care to find out what is really going on. Shall I fucking repeat that again? There are always those people who understand money and are able to rob those who don't have inside knowledge and those who don't even care to find out what is really going on. The people who control money are those who are able to alter the purchasing power of money through interest rates and inflation, and those who print the money. In 1787 A.D., John Adams wrote, and I quote, "Contusions arise from ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation, not from defects in the Constitution." Hello? Oh, wait, let me light a cigarette for that one. Shall I repeat that? What John Adams said, contusions arise from ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. Contusions arise from ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation, not from defects in the Constitution. So ignorance does not rise from the defects of the Constitution. Ignorance arises from ignorance of motherfuckers that don't know coin, credit, or circulation. That's where the ignorance come in at. And that's very fucking true. I have to agree with John Adams on this. Because, yeah, we know that the Constitution is a fucking defect, but ignorance of not knowing how this shit really fucking work is a whole nother goddamn ball game. Because I noticed that we know that hell that 99% of motherfuckers have no idea what the fuck they got in their pocket. They don't know what the fuck that shit is they're holding and why they going buku crazy over it and why they get depressed when they don't have it. They don't fucking understand that shit. Anyway, hold up. So, I'll continue. Currently, the average American, now mind you, this book goes way back. Currently, the average American pays taxes of almost 45% of his earnings with an inflation rate of 10% to 20% and a prime interest rate between 11% and 22%. You will submit to this because you are totally ignorant of the Constitution of the United States and don't have knowledge of the nature of coin, credit, and money circulation. Right? All right. In Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution of the United States government states, Congress shall have the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof. The regulation of money was not to fall into private hands for their own manipulation. This stipulation came about because wealthy bankers, many of whom are from foreign countries, have brought America deliberately into wars and depressions by the manipulation of currency and credit for their profit just to make people bankrupt so that they could take over their property. Okay? Before the American Revolution, certain banking houses have controlled world finance. Private bankers set the value of legal tender, the value of gold, and the interest rates. This is still true today. Before the American Revolution, this was done by the Rothschilds. During the past 250 years, other private bankers, such as the Rockefellers, who have combined with the Rothschilds to form a worldwide financial system that sets money value and regulates trade and industry of every nation in the world. They have the power to make or break a nation at will. That's some interesting shit. That is why British and American banks are found in Russia, China, the Arab world, and anywhere else that they've established their businesses to rob a country of its natural resources and money. Shall I continue? I just need to know. Okay. Mayor Amschel Rothschild wrote over 200 years ago, and I quote, "Let me issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who writes its laws." I'll repeat that again. Mayor Amschel Rothschild wrote over 200 years ago, "Let me issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who writes its laws." That's a powerful fucking statement. The bankers who own and control the Federal Reserve do not care if we have a Democratic or Republican president or Congress. Repeat. The bankers who own and control the Federal Reserve do not care if we have a Democratic or a Republican president or Congress. The privately owned Federal Reserve banks set interest rates and determine the amount of legal tender in circulation. You are taught that inflation is caused by too much currency chasing too few goods. Instead of reducing the money circulation, they will try to increase production. Production cannot possibly be increased enough to make enough goods to stop inflation. The depression of the 1920 to 1937 was caused by too many goods chasing too little currency. Instead of making more currency available, the Federal Reserve deliberately took currency and credit out of the circulation to cause the depression. The bankers took over the default properties. The New Deal was instituted whereby the Federal Reserve expanded the credit currency and national debt. Does all that make sense? Is this boring, y'all? Is this boring? Is this boring any fucking body? All right, moving right along. The real reason for the War of Independence was that England took away colonial scrip money. This scrip money was paper money issued for temporary use and was issued without debt to bankers. The Rothschild Bank of England used its influence on the Crown of England to have a law passed prohibiting American colonies from issuing their own temporary legal tender and making it compulsory for the colonies to get all of their money from the Bank of England at the current interest rate. The Americans were forced to surrender their colonial scrip and mortgage their colonial assets and securities to the Bank of England to have money to conduct their business. The first bank to assume central banking functions was the Bank of England by the 19th century. The Bank of England had become a banker's bank. It had also acquired another function associated with central banking, that of being the lender of last resort, to which other banks could turn for aid when they were hard-pressed. All right, so it wasn't the tax on tea that caused the Americans to rebel like they teach you in school. When the English took away the Americans' money, it created unemployment and dissatisfaction. The regulation of money was not to fall into private hands. This cause is feared by bankers. This worked up until the administration of George Washington, when a national bank was established under the pressures of the Secretary of Treasury, Alexander Hamilton, who was found to be an employee of the Rothschild Bank. Alexander Hamilton persuaded George Washington to issue a 20-year charter to a private bank called the Bank of the United States in 1787 AD. Thomas Jefferson rejected this bank. Since its name sounded like a government agency, like the Federal Reserve, instead of the private agency it is, People trusted in the banking system. The Bank of the United States was capitalized with $35 million in gold, and $28 million came from the Bank of England. So the United States again came under the control of the English bankers. Alexander Hamilton was later tricked into a duel with an expert named Aaron Burr, who killed him to make sure the public never found out the facts. So the War of 1812 was also caused by the Bank of England. The American Congress voted down the bank charter renewal. So the United States would not depend on the English banks. Because the British government was also in debt to the Rothschilds, they were forced to war with America or face a depression caused by the Rothschilds in England. The purpose of the war was to impoverish the United States, making them beg for peace and financial aid, and plan worked. And the plan worked. Okay? In the year 1813, Congress renewed the charter of the Bank of the United States for 20 more years, bringing about the end of the War of 1812 A.D. And it goes on and on. Shall I continue or shall I go backwards to show you where my dollar's at, where my money at? Let me bring in Modest Touch real quick. Give me a mic check, Modest. Did you want in? Can I get a mic check? Hey, baby, what's good with you? Welcome to the show. Let me get one more mic check. From Babylon, Don. Give me a mic check, Babylon.
Hey, what's going on, Don?
You got it, baby. How you
what's
doing today?
Babylon?
Hey, chilling, man. I want you to keep guard, Don. I had just got back on. I had lost my ticket.
Okay,
yeah.
Well. What you got to say, Modest? I'll be patient because we got another 2 hours on this.
Well, it's
going
to be real quick. I just wanted to tie in real quick. That's how that's how the Rothschilds and all of them, that's how they started funding all the wars. And whoever lose had to pay them the spoils.
Mm.
But I just wanted to tie that in because they were the bankers.
Mm.
Go ahead.
Okay, let me bring in Nefertiti real quick. It's always an honor. Come on in, Nef. Give me a mic check.
Mic check. What's going on, Don?
Good. Welcome to the show.
I'm just falling back to you, get ready to open up for discussion.
What you? Well, it's open. You know, it's open.
No, I just a little part when you're talking about basically how they play that game. It's like a fisherman, one who casts a reel, throws it out, meaning that there's a lot of money in circulation, and when they're ready to pull everything back in, the money shrinks, people lose property, and therefore they grab all the resources, grab all the property. And it's a game that they've been playing for eons. And you just basically touched on that. I think that's real interesting. People really got to understand how this game is played with the markets, that it's mass manipulation on all scales.
I agree. Okay, shall I continue? Or
yeah.
If I want to say something?
Continue.
All right, fuck it. Let's run it real quick. Now these bankers, since the war ended, but now these bankers have gone international through the International Money Fund. When a country borrows from them, all its resources go up as collateral national asset, land, gold, and production of industry. The International Money Fund controls the conditions of many countries, either by war, depression, or by the bankers moving into the country and telling them how to operate their country. This is what happened to Brazil and Mexico. Y'all remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does this kind of sound like they doing the same shit now going into other countries?
Absolutely.
Is it really, you know, like... Because it's all about the money, huh?
All about the Benjis.
Yeah, Don. I was thinking about what you just said, though. I was wondering why it skipped from 1812 all the way to the International Monetary Fund. That's a big jump right there because it's a lot
because
of stuff.
Because they're the same.
Money.
You go back to go forward, and you go back, and you can still see the connection. You know how he tied in.
Okay.
Because we back on 1812 now. When Andrew Jackson became president, the bank charter came up again for renewal. Andrew Jackson was a general in the War of 1812 and knew its cause. He therefore vetoed the renewal of the charter, which reduced the national debt to zero. He took the funds from the privately operated national bank and deposited them in selected state banks. Again, the international bankers were to disturb the United States peace by dividing up the United States to cause the Civil War. The U.S. was prospering, and the international bank wanted to cash in on the action. The real cause of the Civil War wasn't slavery. Abraham Lincoln was all for segregation. The Lincoln-Douglas debates documented that President Lincoln was all for slavery. He freed the slaves to injure the South. It was, like I said, I always said this shit. Anytime a cracker is involved with your affairs, it's something in it for them. You know, I don't know how many times I got to say that shit. It's something in it for them. They are not fucking helping you unless it benefits them. I don't know why niggas just automatically let their fucking spell that this motherfucker cared. I don't know cracker gives a fuck about you unless it benefits them. Remember that shit. It got to benefit them to fuck with you, to help you, to hire you. The only reason why you niggas got a job right the fuck now, because if they didn't hire one black, you already know what the fuck would happen. You ain't got no job because you chose that shit. They hired you, motherfucker, because they don't want them damn lawsuits coming at they fucking ass. That's the only reason why a nigga has a job today. They rather hire your ass than to lose money getting sued. So wake the fuck up. Anyway, sorry, had to get that out. People think that ain't no motherfucking racism. Bullshit. That motherfucker, that white people is okay when they fucking shakes your hand and say you're hired. You only fucking hired because he was told to make sure we get niggas in here. Yeah,
affirmative action, Don.
I know. I ain't want to say the word, but I figured they would know what the fuck that shit is. That's the only reason why you niggas are able to get some dead honkies after 2 weeks of work. You ain't getting that shit on your fucking own.
Nah, Don.
I know.
That goddamn money thing, though, Don, what they discussing right there, I want to add in around 1850, like when Django and the Civil War did take place and all that shit did take place. Remember, Abraham Lincoln confiscated all of the silver. All of it. You see that? Now they talking about confiscating all of the gold. All of it. To back the dollar. Because other countries now realize that the United States dollar ain't backed by nothing.
Real talk, man, because they were saying that's one of the real reasons why Gaddafi had to go, because this nigga was requesting his money, his gold, back from the British, you know, that he held in their banks. He was like, I want my gold.
Absolutely.
And I said, that's another reason coming against the dude of Venezuela. He got his gold. He not handing it over.
Chavez. You know they mad with Chavez too, left for that free energy that he was giving away.
Oh, yeah.
Shall I continue?
Yes.
Yeah?
Should I say no and I'll be okay? I'm not.
Wait, so that's Gaddafi done?
That reading.
That's Chavez and Castro.
What?
But yeah, we ready.
Okay, so a Rothschild representative. Shall I read that part back that Lincoln Douglas debates documented that President Lincoln was all for slavery? He freed the slaves to injure the South. Okay,
yes.
Let me just end it with that one. A Rothschild representative, Jefferson Davis, was elected as president of the Confederacy. The South was given unlimited credit, and a 28% interest charge was put on the North. The Rothschild's plan failed because Abraham Lincoln issued $450 million known as Lincoln Greenbacks, G.J. Sutt, for the North's use. For this reason, Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, who was also an agent of the Rothschilds. Now, the question is, so when was this Federal Reserve established? Does anybody know?
1927 to 1933,
Don. Okay. I'll tell you when. From the Civil War until 1912 A.D., the U.S. experienced prosperity with no Federal Reserve Bank and no federal income tax. Okay? When Woodrow Wilson, an antichrist and agent of the Rothschild, became president, the international bankers had their representative in the White House. Does this sound familiar? An antichrist and an agent of the Rothschild became president. Does not history repeat itself?
Always.
The international bankers had their representative in the White House now, baby. In 1913, the international bankers established the Federal Reserve and a graduated income tax. The Federal Reserve is a criminal syndicate that controls all money. The Federal Reserve System is not a government agency. The government has never owned one share of the Federal Reserve stock.
Mm-hmm.
You may ask, then why is it called Federal Reserve if it's not a government agency? Well, the answer is quite simple. The use of the word federal is another trick to deceive you. That's why they do. That's what they do. They make up things and play word games with you so that you will not be able to figure out what they are really saying. The Federal Reserve stock is privately owned by 100 people, including the Wahlbergs, the Rockefellers, the Hermans, the Schitts, since 1914 A.D. They are called the big rich or the elitist by some. They felt that in order to have reliable people, they would have to use family only. Hello. Isn't they smart? In order to have reliable people, they would need to only fuck with family.
Blood ties. That's right.
Oh, my God. This is why
they're
so fucking successful. Because they fuck with their family. Which is one of the hardest things for niggas to do.
You ain't lying.
Like, I only been in with your family. Nah, fuck that. I don't like my aunt. I don't like my cousin. I don't like my niece. I don't like my nephew. I don't even like my children. I only like my mama or my daddy. But I go in business with you. Praise God. Okay. Anyway, where we at? Okay, wait. All right. All of the wealthy families are interrelated or have arranged marriages to protect the money, y'all. They all have common goals. They will not allow anyone to come in and destroy their plans. Isn't this beautiful?
Yep.
Isn't this some beautiful fucking shit? I just fucking love the way these motherfuckers think. This is why I might need to fucking bleach my skin. I already got the hair. I need to just bleach my fucking skin, motherfucker.
You need that Revitiligo.
Motherfucking people.
You need that Revitiligo. Just get it popping.
I need Revitiligo, motherfucker. Right. This is some bullshit.
Real talk.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just love the way they get done. This is why they still exist the fucking day. They serious about that shit. I don't know why we get together and fuck and get married. I have no fucking idea. I don't even know why I'm with the nigga I'm with today.
Makes you think, don't it? Boy.
Okay, like,
really
seriously,
do.
Like, fuck. Let me repeat that shit. I mean, God damn.
Make you look at the nigga across from you like, okay.
Fuck, yeah, now shit. Let me read that part again. They are called the big rich or the elitist by some. They felt that in order to have reliable people, they would have to use family only. All of the wealthy families are interrelated or have arranged marriages to protect the money. They all have common goals. They will not allow anyone to come in and destroy their plans. They represent the old Canaanites that go back 5,000 years, or black nobility. This black nobility ties into the Shemarans. Are anybody familiar with the Shemarans or the Camarium?
First time I ever heard it.
Okay, well, the question is, how does the black nobility tie into the Shemarians? The Shemarians or Camarian are the black robe priests of different idols. They were appointed by the kings of Judah to conduct worship in high places. The original significance of the verbal form was to be black, which explains the use of the noun by the assertion that the industrious priests wore black garments. Today, it represents the one that becomes emotional behind the pulpit when he dances around while trying to fire up the audience. The word kamar means to grow warm and tender, be or grow hot, black, dark, gloomy. It also means, industrious priest. It is the root of Camarian. That is parallel to the root word cam, meaning black or heat, which comes right to Cam or Ham, son of Noah, and the father of Canaan, father of the Canaanites, the enforcer of the laws. The Levitical laws, which are the laws of Satan, comes from the laws of the code of Hammurabi, meaning rabbi's master. That's what Hammurabi means, rabbi's master, of Ham, the rabbis or master of Ham. So when they be like, oh, you know, Hammurabi, the code of Hammurabi means the
right.
Masters of Ham. Or the rabbis. Anyway. And Ham was the father of Canaan. See what's so interesting of all this shit? They don't tell you this shit in Christianity. Like, there's no way you could tie in the characters of the Bible into the real characters of this fucking world and why they name things the way they is, such as the code of Hammurabi. That's straight up Ham's goddamn seed, the Canaanite seed. Ain't that some shit?
That's some shit right there.
That's why niggas need to stay in that goddamn Bible and figure out how that shit all intertwines to one another. If not, ain't no way in hell you're going to be able to break the fucking code, break the spell, crack the code. Ain't no way in hell you'll be able to figure none of this shit out. If you're looking for spirituality, you ain't going to find it in the Bible. You might find a little wisdom, but if you're looking to tie this shit in and figure this shit out, goddammit, you wouldn't even fucking know.
Yeah, Don always say those are the mysteries that they just do not want to divulge. All these, you know, these preachers and shit, they not giving that to their people. They not giving that to their congregation.
They are not finna teach that shit.
Right.
The way it all tie in to your United States, the Bible, the Federal Reserve, the Bible, the Rothschilds, the Bible.
Right.
The Bible. Because
right.
It goes deeper than that. Because even when you see the dove on the dollar bill, it goes right back into the Bible.
Right.
And also the Quran. When you see the dove on the dollar bill. You know what I'm saying? All of this shit intertwines like a motherfucker. It's on some other shit.
Right. You know, because they don't want to see their congregation will never look at that Bible the same. They wouldn't be hopping and hooping and hollering over the book and the words that have come out. Then they'll be able to see the shit that they in. You know what I'm saying? This is like the world in which you live and how it all correlates. You know, once I said it, and it brings a whole new perspective to the individual. And that's the shit they don't want. Period.
Exactly.
They want you to keep dancing and praising and howling over the fucking words that's coming out of the preacher's mouth or what they get individually out of that book.
Exactly. Okay, so let me knock this paragraph out, this last little bit. Then we're going into Congress and back into the Federal Reserve. 770, I'm going to open up your mic in like 2 seconds. Give me 1 minute, and then I open up in 2 seconds. Okay, that wasn't funny. Okay, anyway, so basically the same, so they are the same laws, the Code of Hammurabi. They are the same laws that are made and enforced by the Canaanites that govern the world. It's clear to see the laws you are enforced to adhere to are made up, written, and enforced by pagan worshipers of Baal. That's B-A-L-L, B-A-A-L, by way of Ham's sons, Canaan. When you look at the derivative of the Kaman, let me spell it for people in the chat room real quick. It's K-H-A-M-M-I-N. That's the word. Okay, when you look at the derivative of Kaman, you'll find that it means sun pillar. Used in the idolatrous, I cannot ever say that fucking word. Anyway, used in the idolatrous, can I get a pronunciation of this shit?
You spelled it.
It's a few words that I still have difficulty fucking. My tongue would just not fucking do it. It's so disobedient.
It's almost like it's like
idolatrous. Idolatrous.
Idolatrous.
Anyway, say what now?
I say you gonna put it in the chat so we can see how it's spelled.
Put what in it? Idol. I just can't say strias.
Okay.
Idolatrous.
Okay. Okay. I got you.
I just got from my tongue just will not motherfucking do the shit. Anyway, okay. Anyway, used in worship and often of a solar Baal. So the priests of Baal were called Chamarim. Chamarim. One of the Chamarim priests bears the name Sanchonathan, who was a priest of Baal who purportedly wrote the history of the world on the sun pillars or an ancient Syrian temple. Those were sun pillars that the pagan Canaanites had dedicated to the sun disk. See, even they love the sun. Come on in, India. Give me a mic check.
What's up?
You got it, baby. How you doing today? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing my best. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
I don't mean to ask so many questions, but that's just how I am. You know, and with, you know, you reading from, what you reading from, the Millennium Book? Or from,
no, 666. 666, Leviathan.
I got that book, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Obama just placed his hand on two Bibles.
Three.
On Martin Luther King, supposed to be holiday. When you know it's supposed to be a holiday, you ain't supposed to be doing certain things on certain holidays or whatever. But why did he put his hand on the Bible? And why? What's up with the putting your hand on the Bible and swearing? Because I thought swearing was a quote unquote sin. No,
he don't give a damn. That's Obama. This nigga put a non-clergy person to lead prayer. He don't give a fuck. He just don't give a damn. This is not your president of the United States of America. That's why you'll find that the federal holiday, federally recognized holiday, Martin Luther King, that everybody was at fucking work at the inauguration. He does not abide by the Constitution. This is not a constitutional president. People still thinking that this nigga is the president. He's not the fucking president of the United States. There is no United States.
You
That's
right
long gone. So
right.
Why he do what he do? Because he ain't here to follow the fucking rules. He ain't here for that. He's put in place by the international bankers, baby.
You're right, Don. They duped
this
a lot of
this. This ain't got shit to do with country policies, constitutions, the way it was done before him, the way it's going to be done. This ain't got shit to do with that, India. This motherfucker is in place doing something. He does everything totally fucking different. He goes against the grain.
Hey, Don, he pulled off a mass fake left go right with Obama because, you know, his so-called trade or what his study was a constitutional lawyer. See, so they said, okay, we put in this constitutional lawyer, when in fact, you know, because everybody thinks he'll be abiding by the Constitution because that's what his thing is, when in fact, like you said, is he there for the banks. He know who he answer to, who his paymasters are. But you got everybody thinking that I'm a constitutional lawyer. I went to Harvard. This is what I do.
But he don't even abide by that motherfucker.
Right. For real.
And the thing about it that you would expect that, you know, I've always said this, why not put your hand on the Constitution? What the fuck the Bible has to do with government? Just something that make you say, if the Constitution is
that's
what you're supposed to uphold, then why not swear on the Constitution? Even when you go into the court system, it's all based on constitution and laws, right? Why have to put your hand on the Bible there? What the fuck does the Bible have to do with law or running this country?
Got people thinking this is a fake-ass Judeo-Christian country.
He works for the corporation.
That knowledge too deep right there, Don.
I know it is, because you heard that the answers sold out.
Why? I mean, we know why, because it's still tied to the bankers and what you just said. So we know.
No, why use the Bible? Why not use the Constitution? Even in court, even in swearing in, why do they always use the Bible? You're not in church. You're in government. Judges are in government. They are not pastors. The court system, why the Bible and not the Constitution?
That's right.
And I always said this. When people go, people love to kick and scream, you disrespect, this is against the Constitution. They in court saying that. You didn't put your hand on the Constitution. Do you understand that you have to request the Constitution? Because this is law, this is what we're going to be discussing. Are we not? If he's not the president, and if Bush is not the president, what the fuck really
That's
are
right.
they? Because mind you, this we're talking about law. This is a fake left, go right is what I'm figuring out. Then we're talking about United States, Congress, and all the rest of these motherfuckers, and that goddamn Constitution. Everybody else yell our Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment rights, and all this other type of shit, but they don't yell that. They don't even put their hand on the fucking Constitution when they become president. What are they really becoming? God. That's why they fucking hand is on that goddamn Bible.
Okay.
Because they get to dictate. They get to tell motherfuckers what to do.
Are they simply spokespeople or spokesmen?
No, they're God. That's why it's on the dollar bill. So and it is right over goddamn George Washington head and all the rest of they fucking head. Is it not? In God we trust? It's over their head, Neff.
Yeah, I'm looking.
With the Omega symbol, where their picture is in the center of it. Remember, God says what, Babylon? Teach them something. I am the beginning and I'm the end. I am Alpha and I am
Omega.
Beginning
and the end, right.
Omega.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the Omega symbol. George Washington, with in God we trust over his goddamn face, over his head.
Yeah, and on the back side of him, right.
On the back of his head.
Yeah, it's over the one. One?
Oh, thank you, Mush. But, Now, just something just make you say, you know, why not the Constitution?
They don't give a fuck about it.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, it's always been said. I mean,
because nothing in the Constitution technically correlates to what's going on and what has happened. It's everything in that goddamn Bible happens as soon as the motherfucker is sworn in holding and putting that hand on that Bible. The Bible begins to be open again. every president has unlocked and opened every fucking, just about every scene in the goddamn Bible, yes or no?
True.
Not have opened and unlocked and acted out every fucking thing in the Constitution, but every time they put their hand on the fucking Bible, it's another part that happens while them niggas in president.
Indeed.
In office. That happens in this goddamn Bible. Yes or no?
True, yes. I mean, the biggest thing that was ever said that no one ever really talked about is when Bush was caught with a hot mic and he said the Constitution ain't shit but a piece of paper. Came out of his mouth. It was swept under the rug. It was seen as a joking matter. Oh, he's just making it funny.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he was serious as anything he's ever came out of his fucking mouth. It's a piece of paper.
Exactly.
An illusion.
Anyway, I'm knocking this little pass. I see all ones. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to open up your mic. From the definition being used, you'll find that the Chamariums were the priests of Baal, B-A-A-L. That's another word for Lord. When they gave niggas the word Lord, you translate it to Baal, B-A-A-L, and it basically means monkey. It's a monkey. Black people don't know that because they don't study the fucking languages.
Hmm.
Anyway, were the priests of Baal who wore the black robes, and this is the garb worn by most priests and ministers of today. The black nobility also ties into the Bohemian society who wears the black robes. The Freemasons who meet on the last Thursday of each month wears black robes. The Christian ministers wear black robes. The Shiite Muslims wear black robes. And the Charmarium priests wear black robes. They have their link in every religion. They are just trying to deceive you. This is nothing new. They have been practicing these rituals for years. Back to the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve System came out of a conspiracy. In 1910 A.D., there was a group of 6 men who went to Brunswick, Georgia, which was a stopping place for Jekyll Island, Georgia, on a SEAL train in November of 1910. Are y'all following it? On Thanksgiving, Jekyll Island is where they wrote an act in secrecy and called it the Federal Reserve System to the public. After they finished writing up this plan, they took it back. They took it before the Congress and persuade Congress to turn the money over to the private bankers. Paul Wahlberg testified in front of Congress for the Federal Reserve Act in 1913 that the printed pieces of paper are to be under full obligation of the United States as soon as they are printed. That means that we owe them, and we have to pay interest on it immediately after it is printed. They got the bill passed on December 23rd, 1913 A.D., during the Christmas holidays when their opponents had all left and they rushed the passing of this bill through. No other bill in history has ever been passed under the strange circumstances that this bill was passed. Other bills were also passed in 1913, such as the IRS, Internal Revenue System, the Income Tax Amendment, the Rockefeller Foundation Act, and the Federal Reserve Act. All of these acts were passed just so that we could have a world war a few months later in 1914. In 1914 A.D., money was made available to European central banks to finance the war. They wanted to have an international war since 1895 A.D. However, all of the European countries were bankrupt because they had central banks. Central banks are privately owned banks which function as government banks. The United States had no central bank between 1836 when the Second Bank of the United States ceased to exist in 1913 A.D., when the Federal Reserve System was established. The banks in the United States are operating on Social Security taxes that they collect by extortion. The purpose of the IRS is to close down every small business and every independent farmer or any person that works independently, because it is easy for them to control people who have no assets and have to work for someone. The federal government has no power over anyone as an individual, because in the Constitution of the United States, under Article 1, Section 8, check this, it says, for the commonwealth of the United States, not for the commonwealth of each individual. Therefore, Congress has no power over any individual. Only the state does. The Federal Reserve's privately owned banks are one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever seen. The Federal Reserve bankers originated communism after the Bolsheviks revolution in 1917 AD, which was perpetrated on Russian people, and after the murder of Adam Jersey and Czarski and family. And communism is all about hatred, greed, envy, and they are also the basis of every government act passed by Congress of the United States. I'm going to open up all ones real quick. Give me a mic check. Your mic is open. All ones, can I have a mic check? All ones, going once, going twice. All right, slaves don't talk. So to the crack on the left hand side, slaves' tongues were cut off and shit.
Yeah, we still sell them today. So,
motherfucker, to the cracker on the right, yes. So to Mr. Johnson's plantation, moving right along. Anybody want to say something?
This shit is so good though, dog.
It is
good. I hope people paying attention, because they really seeing the actual left go right, you know.
And I found it interesting. They said no other document or bill was passed in such a scrupulous way. Well, what's the big one they talked about was this Obamacare. That was they said that shit was done in the middle of the night while everybody's sleeping. It only done by a few. And that shit is packed. It's a 2,500-page document. So think about all the little hidden goodies in that bitch. So I just, like you said, history repeats itself.
Y'all ready to go on? Let's show me the money.
Do it.
The power to coin money was taken from Congress and given to private individuals. The names of those who have stock in the Federal Reserve were not even known to Congress until recently. Over the last several years, the prime rate has been more than 20%, yet most Americans pay more than this for credit. The high credit rate was supposedly instituted to stop inflation. In reality, it has the opposite effect. High interest causes inflation. The covert purpose of high interest might just be to destroy the economy of America. And mind you, for the record, this book was written in the 70s and revised later on in the 90s. You feel me? Isn't this what's going on now? To destroy the economy of America?
That's right.
After the high interest rates were put into action, the automobile, building, and agricultural industries declined. Millions are out of work, and business bankruptcies are the highest in history. The Federal Reserve gets its money through kiting, K-I-T-I-N-G. Kiting is defined as getting money or credit by using bad checks. Okay, new word in your vocabulary, boo. Okay, new word, kiting ass motherfuckers.
So they pay their tithes at church.
The U.S. Bureau of Engraving prints those federal notes, legal tender, which you carry. The Federal Reserve is allowed to buy these notes for 1 cent each. Hello? Because I told y'all can actually buy money. Remember I told y'all that? Give me 2 seconds. Thank you. K-I-T-I-N-G. Sakim, I hope that helps. Thank you, Queen Vita. I told y'all can actually buy money. You can buy money, not rent, buy. From the printing and engraved, so it looks like the Federal Reserve, like it said, buys it for 1 penny, 1 cent. But they sell them like a sheet. Didn't I tell y'all this shit? You can buy a sheet of money, a sheet of ones, a sheet of 20s, a sheet of fives, a sheet of hundreds. Didn't I tell y'all that shit before? Yeah, you can actually buy sheets of money. Hello? Money is for sale. It's just a lot of people work for it. A lot of people work for money, but you can buy money. So if the Federal Reserve, okay, let me go back. The Federal Reserve is allowed to buy these notes for 1 cent each, using notes that cost them 1 cent, then buy millions of dollars in U.S. interest-bearing bonds. The bonds are deposited with the comptroller of the currency as security. Hello? The money you pay as federal income tax redeems, pays off the U.S. bonds. Do you get it? You see the circle? The money you pay as federal income tax redeems, pays off the U.S. bonds.
Yes.
IRS Code Title 26 USCA states the income tax goes to redeemed Federal Reserve. Ain't that something? Let me bring in another caller, all ones. Your mic is open. Can we get a mic check?
I'm here. If you're speaking to me, this is Anna.
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. How you doing?
I guess it took me a minute. Well, actually, you answered the phone very quick. So, actually, I was busy and didn't see the number, but anyway, I'm going to proceed on what I'm going to say. About Obama, I want to back up a little bit about him basically swearing on the Bible, okay? And also, I have a problem with that, too, people swearing on the Bible. And the reason I say that, as a Christian, those that say they are Christian, they should not be swearing on the Bible because God said, make your yes mean yes and your no mean no. And this is the same, this is the Bible that people use to say, okay, this is what I want you to swear on, but the same Bible, they would not let you practice your own religion in school. So you tell me, how is that a contradiction? Even though it's supposed to be church separate state. So they contradict themselves in one way, and then they want to uphold it in another way in the court of law. That's because, you know why? It benefits them where they have, as said to say, black people in the court of law under a hearing in order to give them time in prison, but they can't keep it in school because maybe some of our young black children will start maybe listening to that Bible, and then they will not turn the other, well, they will turn the other cheek. And they will not be on the street selling drugs because they want something while you are in school, something to deter you actually from doing what is right. And so when a child picks on you, what do? As some people have already done, they go to the school and shoot it up. They bring guns to school. They bring knives to school. So something that is positive that can help you in school, they take it away. But they are quick to use that Bible in the court of law once you are convicted of a crime.
That's true. Because the Bible is a law book. It starts off as laws. It starts off quoting laws. It's a law book. It's not a religious book. It's straight up law. That's why he put his hand on that book and not the Constitution. That's why people got to go in court and put their hand on that book. But from my understanding, they didn't remove the Bible, so to speak, from the schools. They removed prayer from the school.
And what is prayer? when a person pray, who do they pray to? They pray to God. And what is the Bible represented? It is represented as God's word. So that means God.
Well, no one said that it represented God's word. That's interpretation of men.
Well, true, because some don't believe that, but some do. But some that won't pray in school, they would definitely say, now this is how I spend my day in my study halls, will be reading the Bible.
See, right? And let me explain, this is the most interesting thing about it. Because it's kind of like you're right with the contradiction shit that they use, because we know that church and state is supposedly separate. So the first thing they removed from the state is religion. And all schools are being federally funded by the state. So let's get rid of religion, and every morning they still need to pledge the allegiance to the flag. You see how this shit works, Annie?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because, but then it goes right back to what you said. Like, but we step into the courtroom, and you got to put your hand on the Bible when dealing with the trial. With trials and just going to do a ticket or whatever. You got to hold your hand, or you swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth will help your black ass. So help you God. But what's interesting But what's interesting is that God still exists in the fucking school, because money is being exchanged in the federal public school systems. That dollar bill says "In God We Trust." It has God on that motherfucker. So they really haven't removed the God. They removed the God of religion, but they kept the God of that almighty dollar, because that's the spell that all people are under, is the God on that almighty dollar. They not under the spell of the God in the Bible.
I agree.
The God of that almighty dollar, because if you pay your child's lunch bill and you don't pay it for a whole fucking month, they're going to ask you to bring up some God on that dollar bill.
That's true.
And you cannot pay for your child to be in sports at school with prayer. You got to pay with that God on that dollar bill, the God that they trust. And the God that they trust is on the dollar bill. The God that they don't trust is the one in the goddamn book. And they know not to trust that God, because that God is not loyal. That God is a dirty God. But they trust the Federal Reserve System. That's their God. That's who they're in debt to. Jesus said, let us pray like this: our Father who art in heaven, boo, 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 boo. And what it says when it talks about debt in that prayer, forgive us for our what?
Debtors.
Our debt, absolutely. So this is all about debt. And there in the United States, your government, also your school system, is in debt to the Federal Reserve, which is their God. That's why your school is always asking for money. Your churches, is always asking for money. They are also in debt to the Federal Reserve. And your court system is also in debt to the Federal Reserve. That's why you have to get charges and accounts done in the court system, because it is another financial banking institution, the same way that the public schools is a financial banking institution. It's all dealing with their God that they trust, which is basically more than the Federal Reserve, other than the Federal Reserve.
And then if you look at the Pledge of Allegiance, what does it say? One nation under God. There they go again, using God, but they would not let a person practice their religion in the school.
But here's the thing.
So it's only convenient. It's only convenient for them, like you said, when they want to use those dollar bills in order to get your money, because what did God say? He said, return Caesar's things to Caesar and thank God things to God. And he had a coin, and he said, when the Pharisees asked him, Who should we pay our taxes?
You're talking about Jesus.
Pay back God thanks to God.
Annie, are you talking about Jesus?
He said it's Caesar's. Yeah.
Okay, because you confused me when you said God, because that's two different people.
So actually, Well, actually, put it like this. The Pharisees was trying to trip up Jesus. Okay,
right.
So I'm talking about Jesus.
I know,
Jesus,
and he said, "Run unto Caesar what is Caesar, run unto
him,
the Lord what is the Lord."
Who shall we, exactly.
Right.
So who shall we pay our taxes to? Pay back Caesar's things to Caesar's, which is the government, and pay back God's things to God. So in that sense.
But there's
then,
a difference between. Let me add this also to what you're saying. See, here's the catch, Annie. The catch is that the word God is a plural word. It's not referencing to your God. It's referencing to other gods. That's a plural word. It's plural. When you translate God, it means more than one. That's the catch. Because when people are thinking, oh, my God, they took my God out of the school. They didn't take your God out of the school. They took the God that they put in the school out of the school.
Well,
there are more than one God. That's why even the Bible said that you should not have no other gods before me, for I am a jealous God. Even it showed there that there were many gods. So the question would be, Annie, that we need to ask the government, which God do you serve, Obama?
And that would be a good question.
Because there are many
question gods.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad to say that. There are many gods and many lords. But there is only one true God, it says. But only one true God. So the question is, everyone have to ask themselves, which one is actually the true God?
Well, that's
you
like saying there's
research.
Only one race. That's like saying there's only one true person on the planet, even though there's many people here. But mind you, God is like saying people. That's a generic term. So now we got to find
the
name.
Right,
now we got to be able to find the name of that God, because that's like saying there's 550 people on the planet, but there's only one of those people that are right. And righteous and true. Then you got to find out what's that person's name. So now we got to figure out what is that name of that God. Because remember, when Jesus got ready to have a conversation with God, he didn't call him God. He called him Eli. He called him Eli. They wanted to translate it as my God. Anyway, let me bring in another caller.
Have a good one.
Sorry, I got to mute that one. 267, come on in. Give me a mic check.
Peace, Don. What's good?
Good with you, Universal Moore? Welcome to the show. I just want to give everybody a heads up. Y'all want to hear the next hour of the show, you got to call in and Skype in and go to the after party to hear the next hour of the show. The mothership is about to take off in about 10 minutes. But Babylon also wanted to jump in. But Babylon, jump in first and then more. Come on.
Okay, Don. Only thing I want to say, Don, was that separation of church and state shit, if my background ain't too loud, is this right here, Don, is that, like I said yesterday, the religion was in this country before the government. So they couldn't have people having religious embassies and falling under a religious name. So they had to separate the church and state and get people to fall for democracy and politics. And they got it done. People was willing to say, hey, keep the state separate than politics. And thus religion became a mere nonprofit organization under a political name. So that's why they're still able to keep the Bible and everything in the church, in the school, in the government, at the inauguration. That's why they're able to use it, because they never said that they was denouncing the Bible or using another book. They said that they would separate church and state, not get rid of it. That's it, Don.
Okay,
hey, can I add a little on to that?
Well, we got more jump in, and then you might as well anybody else, because this is all basically free for all now.
Okay. Oh yeah. Well yeah. For me to try to be as quick as possible. Yeah. That's true. It is all bullshit. And you know, God is a personal thing. It's not something, you know, that's like a personal relationship, like what you do in the bedroom. And for somebody to say, oh, it took God out of the schools. Well, if somebody can take your God out of the school, then your God ain't almighty. You know, God can't be omnipotent or omnipresent. Can't be all places at one time. So you know, you need to find a new God. you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Didn't I say that earlier in a sense, Neff, when I said it was basically showing that the government was God, putting their hand on the Bible, putting God on the, over the dollar bill and shit?
Absolutely.
If they could control your God, get rid of it, add another one. Because right now the United Nations is building up a new religion. So your God is about to be wiped away. They're about to start a world religion.
Right.
You're right, Ma, with that shit. You are absolutely right. Because if that's your God was not powerful enough to stop them motherfuckers from taking him out of the school.
They recycle guys. They take one out, put a new one in, take one out, put a new one in. Like,
your God expired.
Right.
Good God.
Babylon was saying was that when they came in with the religion or with the Christianity, for example, they used it to put them in pause, to stagnate them while they set up their government. And these are the rules, because they would always say, when you're in Rome, do what the Romans do.
Mm. When in Rome, become a Roman.
So it worked in two ways for them.
Mm. Mm. Dom, can we continue? Show me the money, G. Show me the money. I know religion is a motherfucker. It's always going to have niggas conversating over religion. Cause you know what I'm saying? That's just some interesting shit. It doesn't matter what the fuck. When it comes to money and you throw a little God in there, that's it. That's it. That's the end of the money discussion.
Let's stay focused. We need to get that money shit, because I want to go buy some.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Hey,
yeah, I need to buy
sheets,
me some money. Shit.
That's right, buy a couple sheets. Shit.
Yeah, buy a couple sheets. It's good.
Yeah,
for
let's
a few
really
things.
Kick this shit off.
Yeah, it's good for a few things. Real talk. There's so many ways to utilize those sheets of money, though.
Right.
Yeah, you can do it in raffle tickets and all of that type of shit.
Mm.
Like, once you buy a sheet of money, you can be like, we're giving away some amount.
Right.
Purchase a raffle ticket.
That's right.
Yeah.
You ain't lying.
I got a money boutique over there.
Yeah.
Get Better Avenue.
All right, now. It ain't off of Dubai Street, is it?
Not at all. Ain't even in that neighborhood.
Okay. All right. Here's where we at with the money thing. So these are currently two kinds of money in circulation. Genuine silver coin minted before 1964, and coins which do not contain silver. Yet the Constitution states in Article 1, Section 10, that no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. Congress does not have the power to coin money. That's Article 1, Section 8. But since it can't make anything but gold and silver coins a tender for debts, nothing printed on paper is by constitutional definition and federal law legal tender or lawful money.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. They're not allowed to print any money.
Uh-huh. This does not mean that personal checks, money orders, and Federal Reserve kite notes are illegal, though. See, it's a kite note. New word, right?
Right.
Yeah. And
like
we know what kites
term.
Are, right? Kite.
Right. It's like a fucking
getting money
term.
Or credit by using bad checks.
Mm.
They are legal as long as they are convertible into lawful money, gold and silver. Does that make sense? Personal checks, money orders, and Federal Reserve kite notes are illegal. They are legal as long as they are convertible into lawful money, gold and silver. Yet there is no law that says you must accept them if they are not redeemable in gold or silver coins. Therefore, any paper currency not redeemable for lawful money at face value is not money. It's just as legal to use seashells or stones as money as it is to use unbacked paper money. Did y'all get that?
Oh, yes. So None of this money is back.
So you might. It's just as legal to use seashells or stones as money.
And it's like they say, and what they say, Don, the money has been taken off the gold and silver standard. So there you have it.
Right. So do you understand the value of money you possess is based upon the value a select few placed on it? What will you do when they decide your money does not have any value? Listen, again, what would you do when they decide that your money has no more value, that your money is not even fucking good no more? Remember the mattress syndrome, how niggas want to keep their money in a mattress, so you just stacking and stacking and stacking. I remember I keep telling motherfuckers money is meant to be spent. You better spend, because in a minute, if they're the ones that gave a nigga the impression that it's something, they are the same ones that can take that impression and say it ain't nothing.
That's right.
Remember I keep saying money is meant to be spent. Don't let them trip your ass up, because in a minute they're going to say, that's it, we done with money. You're like, man, I just fucking stacked 5 G's. What the fuck? Nigga, I've been saving. I keep telling these motherfuckers, turn your debt note into securities. You need to do that shit quick. You need to exchange that shit. That's a debt note. Exchange it in the Security Exchange Commission for an asset, motherfucker. That's a debt in your pocket. And so if it's a debt in your fucking pocket, it ain't nothing until it becomes an asset. How do you change a debt into an asset? You got to exchange it.
That's right.
I keep telling these motherfuckers that shit. No, you don't. If you're going to spend it, spend it. But you need to learn how to exchange at least a dollar into an asset. $1 can be turned, $1 debt note can be exchanged to an asset. You feel me, Living Journey? And the only way you can exchange that shit, exchange debt for credit or debt for security, is with the Security Exchange Commission. I don't know how many thousands of goddamn times I keep telling you niggas that shit. Your money is going to run the fuck out whether you still got it in your hand or not.
Right.
Yeah, it's great to buy food, gas, clothes, and pay your bill, but what happens when you don't have any more, when you don't have no security? When that money is no longer good, you have no assets. And don't get it twisted, a boat is not an asset. That's a lie. When you ever seen those loan apps, when you're asking for money and they ask you, do you own any boat, automobile, houses and shit?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a fucking asset. All that shit depreciate.
That's right.
Securities never depreciate. They're not talking about that.
So we talking about bonds and what do we?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just to get that clear. Okay.
Securities, and don't get your, it's securities. You can get your bonds from the bank if you like. They sell bonds.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Because you'll be exchanging a debt for a bond or for a security or for an asset.
Yes.
You'll be exchanging this nothing ass piece of paper for security.
Yeah, the word is bond, right? That's right. Gotcha.
Exactly. So... what will you do when they decide your money does not have any value? At one time, the dollar value was defined as 1/20th of an ounce of gold or 1 troy ounce of silver. Now, there is no standard, and you must rely on the bankers or politicians for a definition. This is the root of the inflation and the collapse of the American economy going on right now. Only those who take legal tender kite notes and convert it into lawful money, silver or gold coin, will be able to financially survive. The bankers will continue to create wars, depressions, and whatever they can make up to make themselves rich. The bankers do not see any strong value country in the world. They work from within to weaken the countries. They sit around and figure out devilish plans to make money, and that is the basis of all governments. That is why you have homeless people living outside under bridges, and that is the plan of the international bankers to have all workers living on a bare sustenance level. That is where the basis of taxation and control of industry come from. They don't want you to have a comfortable life, because they say if you have a comfortable life, you won't work as hard. This plan was devised by David Ricardo of England in the early 19th century. David Ricardo was a leader of the British Classical School of Economics. He systemized the economic theory of his day and strongly influenced its later development. And he was also associated with the Rothschild. Let me bring in another caller real quick. All ones, another all ones. Your mic is open.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, you back. I thought you hung up.
Yeah. No, I'm still here. This is what I wanted to say. Thank you very much. I wanted to say about people who throw their money in the street. And that is true. They will throw their money in the street. You know why? It's not because the government or the system is going to have you throw your money in the street. People are going to be begging for God's mercy, and they're going to try to use their assets, their money, whatever it takes, their jewelry, their gold, and they're going to be begging God for their life. But guess what? It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Your mic, sweetie.
Let me bring in 559 as well. 559, right. Give us a mic check.
Greetings, families.
Greetings.
God, I just wanted to... Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just want to say now, this is the Don Carleon Show. Thank you very much for delivering this information. I just want to make sure I got my boarding pass whenever that time comes.
Thank you. Yeah, because your boarding pass, y'all, all aboard. We about to take off. So you already know your boarding pass number. If you don't, it's 347-884-9239 if you want to get in on the line, or you can go to the after party. The link is in the chat room, or wait until the show is over to hear the hour that we're about to do once it's posted on the Don DeColeon profile page on WGAG Radio. All right, last thing, and then we're just going to continue to build straight up, and I'll stop reading some of this shit to y'all. But in regards to how they systemized the, how David Ricardo systemized the economic theory of his day, basically, it goes on to say that they do things like educate children 6 years old about choosing, check this, an alternative lifestyle of becoming homosexual. Is that not going on?
Absolutely.
Was this
all
not
day,
something
every day
that was already pre-written, 559? This is this book is old. It's about the same, probably the same age of my daughter, one of them.
Yeah.
They do the things like educate children 6 years old about choosing an alternative lifestyle of becoming homosexual. By the time they are 7 years old, they would have already made up their minds about what their sexual preference is.
Mm.
And I'm going to continue this, and we got 90 seconds, so let's take off real quick, and then I'll get back on and finish that up, and then we can build on everything we basically discussed or jump off into a new topic. Let's take off.
Well, all right.
That's it,
Doctor.
I know it.
Recording. We have returned to claim the pyramid. Partying on the mother.
I
am the mothership connection. Get down in 3D. Light year groove. Well, all right. Hear the noise. Ain't nobody but me, boy. Get down. Put a glide in your stride and a dip in your hip and come on to the mothership. Loose boots, doing the bump.
Hustle
on over here.
Get your head in the yard, you can see and the boy get mad. You gotta get the band.
everybody for joining us on the line, on the call line, for those that want to get in on this conversation. GJ Sutt, can you hear me? Can I get a mic check from the after party? I just need to make sure that our mic is working. Can we get a mic check? We got sound? Okay, so G, basically, here's what it said. He wanted me to repeat the homosexual part. He said they do things like educate your children. They do things like educate children 6 years old about choosing an alternative lifestyle of becoming homosexual. That's where this alternative lifestyle jumps up, comes into play. By the time they are 7 years old, they will have already made up their minds about what their sexual preference is. Or the shootout at Waco, which was typical. Okay. Hold up. I got a background noise. They want to bring war on you. That is why they deliberately engineered the program of the wife. 559, I had to mute you. Okay, wait. Okay, remember, okay, they want to bring war on you. You following me, Gene? That is why they deliberately engineered the program of the wife having to go out to make a living. Hello? Does that make sense? That's something that Fireliners was talking about yesterday on Hot Damn Politics with that democracy shit. And that's why they're going into all those fucking foreign countries bringing out the woman from behind the man. This is why they want war on you to bring, anyway, where we at? To, shit, what the fuck did I just say? This is why they deliberately engineered the program of the wife having to go out to make a living. Everybody in a household has to get a job to make ends meet. They are doing this on purpose because they want the state to control the children, y'all. They want the state to control the children. Y'all hear me? That's some interesting shit, ain't it? So they bring the woman out the house so that the state can come in to control the child. Remember now, since even throughout the Bible, it was all about the children. How they wanted to take the children. Sacrifice your child. All that fucking shit. This is incredible. That's probably why these presidents put their hand on the fucking Bible, right, Neff? That's probably why. When you go into court, they got to put their hand on the Bible.
Absolutely.
The judges also have to be sworn in to basically act out what the fuck is going on in the damn Bible.
Absolutely.
To take the fucking children.
Sinister.
They've been doing that shit since Adam gave birth to fucking Seth. That's the day that shit started. Well, basically, fuck it, Cain and Abel. Because
right.
God started fucking
right.
with Cain and Abel.
That's right.
And then shortly after that, Seth pops up, and God told Adam, I want Seth. He was like, you can't get Seth, motherfucker. Leave us alone now. Shit, you know, already made me lose one child. Anyway.
They sinister, Don.
Yeah. So anyway, so everybody in the household has to get a job to make ends meet. They are doing this on purpose because they want the state to control the children. And Hillary Clinton is making sure that the parents have no rights over their children. The state would have total control of them. It's all about money and control. Money was made deliberately to put us in debt to them. You people just don't know how lucky you are with right knowledge. You need to talk and get the message going to other people so people can start waking up. Share that special gift that was given to you all by the Most High. Take it as a sign that we have a chance. No matter how close it is to the end, there is still a chance for salvation. And that's the only thing you got going for you because other than that, you are food. You are ready for destruction, and the worst part of it is they have people believing that they are working with them trying to stop the conspiracy of the New World Order.
Applause button.
Anyway, 832, I hope this is my sister Zena. Come on in. Give me a mic check.
I love black girl. Black girl is beautiful.
Zena, what foreign are you talking to in your background? She ain't mean to push one.
I want to find black girl, my wife. You look like you.
We can find out what she do for a living.
I got an afro. Oh, shit.
She's flirting with a foreigner. Her whole 28 ain't on the line.
Turn that shit off, Don, before you get that woman in trouble.
Look at him, man. Zena, come to the phone. He's an Iranian. Stay away from him. Don't engage in foreigners. I don't give a fuck if they flat. It's a setup. Don't do it.
Don't be hypnotized by the accent.
Hell no, nah, don't do it. Shit. Don't do that shit. You heard him talk about his wife was beautiful just like her?
Mm-hmm.
Was beautiful. What, he pretending his wife dead now?
Past tense, was.
Look at her. She just got quiet and he just started talking. I'm going to have to get her.
He's like, what you mean, Don? What are you talking about?
Yeah, why you shut up as soon as that nigga said you was beautiful?
You know, Zena.
What you talking about, Don?
What's up with that shit? You falling for that bullshit? That's that emotional shit. That's an emotion. The devil knows how to do it. Jael said, "Hersh, Neff."
Please, you can't hurt me. But
anyway, shall I go back now? Because this goes into the White House and the Pentagon. Anybody want to say something?
Nah, you're on point. Let's keep moving, proceed, and continue.
Babylon, Midas, my nerd, Moore, weird scientists and shit. I still want to go back into this dollar bill and let's break down some of the money, the symbols on the dollar bill, just in case we haven't, I guess it's just more like a refresher course, you know what I'm saying?
I love refreshers.
Of the dollar bill, boo.
Well, you know, people just really don't be paying attention to what's in their purses, pockets, wallets. You know, they just be expensive.
Yeah, because it's a great seal, boo.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about the dove on the dollar bill. We'll go into that, then we'll go back into the 13, because I know a lot of motherfuckers like that number. Yeah. And so we'll start with the boom. Okay, I'm going to go here with well, it goes into the Capricorn, and basically it's the story of Jesus and the Freemasons.
Okay.
Because basically the story of Jesus is some ritual type of shit that the Freemasons and all them cats do. But
hope that lady's still listening.
It goes into I wonder where is Annie. Annie, are you still on the line with us? Give me a one in the chat room, Annie, if you're on the line with us. Annie probably got the hell on.
She
I see her name in the after party, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure. But okay, so if you look up the meaning of the word Capricorn, you will see it comes from the Latin word Capricornus, which is broken up into Capri, meaning goat, and cornu, meaning horn. Capricorn received its name because at the same time, about 2,000 years ago, the sun was in the constellation during the winter solstice on December 22nd. And this Capri, or cap, is Jesus, the capstone of the pyramid rising. Make sure y'all got y'all dollar bill out to check this shit out.
Yeah, I got it.
This supposed birth of Jesus is symbolic of the sun in Christianity that was born or reborn. It is simply called solar biology, or Horus, scope. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you look on the reverse side of the dollar bill next to the pyramid on the right side, mm-hmm. you will see a dove descending from the capstone. The dove is the common name for various species of birds in the family Colubridae, order of the Colubridae formans. Columbiformes. Remember, that's also where your little harlot is basically based off of. The harlot, that ugly, tall, nasty-looking bitch in New York.
Oh, yeah, that tall bitch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Columbia.
Yes.
Yeah. That, trifling. Other types is, okay, so anyway, basically, so it comes from the same family. Other types in this same family are the called pigeons. There is no biological unlikeness between the two. Smaller birds are often called doves, and larger species, pigeons. The dove carries many symbolism. In Christianity now, the dove was symbolic of the Holy Ghost and peace. It is extremely ancient and highly adorned pagan Yannick emblems. According to the American Heritage Dictionary, Yannick, remember Yanni Neff?
Yes.
Is from the word Yanni, which is defined as Hinduism, a stylized vulva worshipped as a symbol of a goddess or Shakti. Shakti, Sanskrit, Yanni, womb, abode, source. Did y'all get that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yanni, womb, deity, goddess, Shakti, abode, or source. According to the Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic, and Rosicrucian symbolical philosophy by Manly P. Hall, it states that in many of the ancient mysteries, it represented the third person of the creative triad, or the fabricator of the world. As the lower worlds were brought into existence through a generative process, so the dove has been associated with these deities identified with the procreative functions. Did y'all follow that? Were y'all able to get that?
No, I heard it. I didn't get it.
So. Okay, you didn't get it?
No,
okay, so now we into the Masonic doctrine of the dove, basically.
Okay.
So they're basically saying, in the book titled Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic, and Rosicrucian Symbolical Philosophy,
yeah.
written by Manly P. Hall, Neff,
it states that
you got the book?
Yeah, I have a lot of his books. I've never read them,
okay.
but I got a lot of Manly P. Hall.
Well, it states that in many of the ancient mysteries, it represented the third person of the creative triad, or the fabricator of the world.
Okay.
As the lower worlds were brought into existence through a generative process, so the dove has been associated with those deities identified with the procreative functions.
Got it.
Now check the deities' names, y'all. It is sacred to Astarte, Cybele, Isis, Venus, Juno, Melita, and Aphrodite. That's who I always said that Obama wife is, Melita. She just reminds me so much of fucking Melita.
Okay.
Michelle.
Yes.
Yeah. She looked like her, too, to me.
She's in the tablets, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've
looked
seen
like
that.
My
yeah.
leader to me.
Yeah, I've seen that.
She act like her, too.
Mm.
A trifling ass. Any fucking way.
I like you said a trifling ass.
Trifling ass.
Well, you
dude.
Just really encountered that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Trifling bitch.
Yeah. But. Like, yeah. Of course. I've met many my leaders in my day. So I already know one.
That's right.
When I see one, I can tell. Just she or my leader character off the rip. And Aphrodite. Anyway, the dove is also an emblem of wisdom, for it represents the power and order by which the lower worlds are maintained. It has also been long accepted as a messenger of the divine will. The original name for the dove was Iona, or Inis. Inis? Inis? You know, people's names. I know some motherfucking names like that. That I-O-N-A-S.
Okay.
It was a very sacred symbol and at one time almost universally received. It was adopted by the Hebrews, and the mystic dove was regarded as a symbol from the days of Noah by all those who were of the Church of God. Mind you now that we're talking about the dollar bill and why that dove is on there. The prophet who was sent to Nineveh as God's messenger was called Jonah, or the dove, our Lord's forerunner. The Baptist and was called in Greek by the name of Ioannis, where they get Anne from. Did y'all know that? That's where Anne comes from. A-N-N-E, Anne, or Anne. Ioannis, I-O-A-N-N-E-S.
Anne as in A-N?
No, Anne as in the girl Anne, or
okay.
Annie, or yeah, that's like the female version of Jonah or Ioannis.
Okay.
And so was the apostle of love, the author of the fourth gospel and the apocalypse, named Ioannis. In Freemasonry, the dove symbolizes purity and innocence. It is significant that in the pagan mysteries, the dove of Venus was crucified upon the four spokes of a great wheel, thus foreshadowing the mystery of the crucified Lord of Love. In Islam, it is said that Muhammad drove the doves from the temple at Mecca, even though occasionally he is depicted with a dove sitting upon his shoulder as the symbol of divine inspiration. You see how all the doves tie in to just about every type of religious order or fraternal order?
Yes.
Or sacred order? The dove is there? Okay, so, however, in the time of Cain and Abel, the dove was not considered a good thing. It was symbolic of the devil, who took the form of a dove and fought against the raven until he succeeded in killing the raven.
Mm.
Hello?
Mm.
They wanted
Donald
to try.
Trump, you talk about that?
Well, can I finish? I'm almost done. 2 seconds.
Okay.
And you can don't lose it. They want okay from succeeding to killing the raven. They wanted to try and make the dove look good because it is white, and the crow look bad because it is black. They have been doing this all throughout his story. So you as a Nubian can be subliminally brainwashed into thinking you are less than the Caucasian. That's why they turned the dove into good, because it's white. But it was technically bad. But go ahead, Babylon. Go ahead, Babylon.
I was just going to say that we had talked about one day when we talked about Noah and the ark, and I had mentioned that I had read somewhere that the dove had killed a raven, and you just read it. I didn't remember where it was till now.
Right. Okay. All right, now, what do the two circles around the great seal symbolize? Y'all still looking at your dollar bill, right, because there's two circles over it.
Yeah.
Okay? Y'all got your dollar bill, right?
Right here.
Yeah. And remember, yeah, you're right, Kimbo, the magician uses the doves and put it in a comatose state.
Sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Magi's. All right, back to the two circles around the great seal, okay? What does it symbolize? The two circles around the pyramid represents the old and new pyramid. The circle containing the pyramid represents the old Roman Empire governed by Mark Antony because he married Cleopatra and lived in Egypt. And the other represents Caesar through the president and the rising of the new empire. The circle, which is 360 degrees, is a cipher, meaning that which is complete both mentally and as well as physically, showing and proving that the truth is the way to the square off unrighteousness. Do I need to repeat that about the circle, 360 degrees? Huh?
Do it again. I was listening, though.
Yeah,
I want to hear it again.
The cipher circle.
Okay, the circle, which is 360 degrees, is a cipher, meaning that which is complete, both mentally as well as physically, showing and proving that the truth is the way to square off unrighteousness. You get it? The circle and the square? showing that the truth is the way to square off unrighteousness. One corner of the square is an angle of 90 degrees, and it forms the fourth part of the circle. This circle also symbolizes the 360 degrees of knowledge. A circle is infinite. Once closed, you can't find the beginning or the end. Only he who closed it knows. Once you turn the circle inside out, you get a square. The square is at an angle of 90 degrees, forming the fourth part of a circle. As you know, the square has four equal corners. Each corner has 90 degrees. 90 times 4 equals what? 360. Now take a look at the ribbon. The ribbon? Do y'all see the ribbon on the dollar bill near the seal, the great seal? The two ribbons on each side? Can y'all see it? Okay, Antichrist is dead. The ribbon of the lower scroll that appears on the back of the dollar bill on the great seal with the terms Novus Ordo Seclorum, which means the New World Order, symbolizes the sash of Freemasons. The sash is a band of fabric worn either over the shoulder or around the waist, as is a symbol of an honorary order. There we go again. Sashes are not something new. They date back to the time of Jesus and were called girdles in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. The sash is a Freemasonic apron, known also as a badge of dignity. The many intricate symbols on the apron give an in-depth history of Freemasonry. Now, if you fold the dollar bill, you will see a web or a net on the backdrop of the dollar bill. The net or web symbolizes the internet. These principalities in high places have set out to trap everyone in their nets, or like a spider traps its prey in their web. And you can see the web, of course. Everybody know about the web on the dollar bill. Keep going, G. Okay. Basically, what is a web for those that don't know? A web is what a spider uses to capture its prey. They use several strategies to catch prey: active hunting, waiting in ambush, and making and using traps of silk. The most distinctive strategy is the use of a silk orb web. This aerial net uses a minimum of silk threads to strain the air for insect prey of the proper size. A web is used to bind people in debt. They are doing all of this through the internet system by trying to get everybody in the net, and they are actually calling it the web. Let's look up the word internet according to the American Heritage Dictionary. Shall I keep going, G? Yeah, see, they tell you in the face. Remember, I always say that the devil tell the truth. The devil is not a lie. He always tell you the fucking truth. You right, Job, World Wide Web. They telling you that shit. Like, he ain't finna lie. The devil didn't lie in Genesis. He didn't lie when goddamn God asked that motherfucker where was he going, to and fro. Up and down, nigga, I've been looking for mischief. That's what the fuck. The devil ain't never lied. He always told. He tell you the truth right in your goddamn face. Wouldn't you like to be a devil, too? Be truthful. Because that motherfucker don't feel nothing. Okay. Anyway, let's look at the word internet. Enter. Interred or entering. In tears. To place in a grave or tomb, y'all. Bury. Hello? Are y'all there? Another word for inter or interred in English, they also in Latin, terra, earth. Okay? Net, inter. Inter means to place in a grave or tomb. Net, an open work fabric made of threads or cords that are woven or knotted together at regular intervals. Something made of open work fabric, especially a device for capturing birds, fish, or insects. Net, abbreviation, business, remaining after all deductions have been made. As for expenses, net profit. Hello?
Yeah.
Remaining after TARE is deducted. Net weight, ultimate, final, the net result. Need, NED, to bind, tie, grade form, nod, from Old English, net, a net, from Germanic, nati, nettle, from Old English, nitel, needle, nettle, from Germanic, natola. Need, important derivatives are net, nettle, nod, noodle, annex, connect. Did y'all see the correlation?
Yes.
The new computer program is called the Internet or Web. It's right in front of you, and you don't even see it. Another way they do this is through the Social Security system. Once they got you in, you're in forever. Hello? So what are the Moors talking about when they're saying get back all your shit? Once they got you, you in forever. You can't get out of this shit. What are they talking about when they talking about they can buy back, they get back, they pay, you know, turn in their birth certificate? Now you still in the fucking shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's like you coming to my house now saying I want to break all ties with you by returning everything you gave me. And you give it back, but bitch, you still exist in my life.
That's right.
I still know you exist, motherfucker.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You, how you going to delete
not.
That
really,
shit?
It's all for naught.
Exactly. Anyway, so they all, okay, he says that they'll have you monitored for the rest of your life. They'll have you monitored for the rest of your life. That's why you have such things like credit cards, so that you can stay in debt to them. When a spider catches its prey, it binds them and eats off of it when it wants. The Internet keeps you in a prison, which is a holding cell. All across the world, they are introducing your children to the Internet. They have programs such as how to make bombs, how to make drugs, X-rated child porn. And they even have a satanic line accessible through CompuServe in their conference forums. It's subtle and is being cunningly executed, and they are becoming addicted. It's worse than drugs, and that is so fucking true. The Internet is worse than drugs.
Can be. Highly addictive, this Internet here.
Yeah. This is all available on the Internet for children. The entire social fabric of society is being rewoven, not just in America, in all societies. Computers are internationally linked worldwide communication systems by way of these satanic machines. This is a reality. Back to the dollar bill. Or anybody want to say something?
We'll see, Don.
All right. On the dollar bill, there is a total of 14 clouds above the eagle's head, consisting of 13 stars, according to the Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization by Anthony T. Browder. The 13 stars are said to represent a new constellation, or the 1777 AD flag enfolded in a golden radiance or a glory breaking through the clouds. Do y'all see the clouds on the dollar bill?
Let me look.
It's over the eagle's head. It's above the eagle's head, the cloud on the dollar bill.
Yes.
Okay, and it's 13 of them.
Right.
13. Okay. These 13 five-pointed stars represents the 13 nations that were under the laws of Nimrod. Goes back to that Bible, don't it?
That's right, Nimrod.
I thought these was all fictitious characters. I thought they wasn't fucking real. Okay, the 13 nations that were under the laws of Nimrod. which was laws under the code of Hammurabi. And we know what Hammurabi is, right?
Yes.
The masters or the rabbis of Ham.
Right.
Who is Noah's son, Canaan.
Yes.
They're talking about Canaan, the Canaanites. Later, they became Jewish laws, which the so-called Jews uphold to this day as the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And 13 times 5 equals what? Quick, 65. Satan was conceived in 1965 and born in 1966. Like the nations, his eye opened on the world in 1966. The 13 five-pointed stars form a six-pointed star. 13 five-pointed stars equaling 65, which is the 11 sons of Canaan. 6 + 5 is 11. Canaan had 11 sons now.
Okay.
The six-pointed star is the symbol of the Mogen David, the Star of David, which the Jews use in their religion, Judaism. Now, according to the ancient Judaism, the triangles represents the two pyramids. The two pyramids symbolizes the two pillars, Solomon. This plays a significant role in Freemasonic rituals. In India, the six-pointed star is broken up into two parts. The triangle pointing down is a special symbol of Vishnu and representing the female. The triangle pointing up is a symbol of Madiva or Siva, symbolizing the male. When joined, they are called the united symbols of Vishnu and Siva, the Shakun or six points. According to the Nile Valley Contribution to Civilizations by Anthony T. Browder, on page 202, it states, and I quote, "The state of Israel has adopted as its national emblem the Kabbalistic symbol of two overlapping triangles should be seen as inscribed in a circle. They represent the poles, the tropics, and the ecliptic. Besides, have the added meaning of the male and female elements coming together to generate the cosmos." It also goes on to say that the founding fathers adopted as the seal of the United States a pyramid. Check it. They wanted to convey the notion that a perfect society has been organized. And in order to convey it, they adopted a symbol which, through the tradition transmitted by Masonic societies, goes back to the Egyptians' idea of Ma'at. An equilateral triangle was also used as a symbol of the deity, its three sides representing his threefold power. An eye within a triangle is a Masonic symbol of the great architect. Early Christians used a similar device as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Was y'all able to follow that? Yay or nay?
Yay.
No?
Yay.
Okay.
I was done. It's just my goddamn mute takes so fucking long. But I heard everything you said.
I heard it.
Okay. So basically the original symbol of the Jews was the hexagram, a six-pointed star in a circle.
Absolutely.
In a circle. The symbol is used in witchcraft or in the black arts. The word hex means six in the Greek language. In the religion of voodoo, whenever they speak of putting a curse on someone, they use the word hex, and it is synonymous with the beast.
Right.
The hexagram is said to represent the two poles, the tropics and the ecliptic. Besides having the added meaning of a male and female elements coming together to generate the cosmos, you will see it all over their temples and synagogues. This is supposed to be a place of holiness, yet they are using satanic symbols. The hexagram is a symbol of the six-pointed star, which, again, is the form of a swastika, the seal of the Illuminati, symbolizing their 6,000 years of rulership over the original Ishmaelites, Israelites, and Midianites. If you break up the word hexagram, you get hex, from the Greek language meaning six, and gram, meaning a seed, y'all.
Right.
A seed. This seed was the Yaqub's graftation, the flugeroids. From the grafting of a zera, Z-E-R-A, meaning an offspring or seed, is symbolic of the sixth letter of the Aramaic alphabet and the sixth letter of the Greek alphabet, which is zeta. Zeta represents a snake. The word zeta comes from the Hebrew origin, meaning zane, from the root word zan. And it goes into now zigzag zig. And we're back at that again. Anybody want to say something? Which goes back to the coppers in the square and the Zeta Reticula. I go into it. Fuck it. This is where they get this is where they get Zina, Z-I-Y-N-A-H, Zina, meaning abomination from. Also note the use of the letter Z repeatedly. Their symbol is hidden in zigzag zig, which is za 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 or 666. Zigzag zig is a German word for zigzag, meaning to turn in the wrong direction. The beings that inspire Yaqub, as well as Hitler, the Yaqub of this day, were from Zeta Reticula. This symbol can also be seen as a part of the Freemasonic doctrine, which is a secret society also linked to the Illuminati. Notice the transition it makes into the compass and square. Though there are many symbols in Freemasonry, none are more important than the compass and square. Since the 18th century, this has been accepted as the Freemasonic emblem. Sometimes you may see it with the letter G in the middle. What does the letter G symbolize? This is how your Christianity basically come into play, or your religion worshipers. Initially, the square is said to symbolize mortality and righteousness. The compass is said to symbolize spirituality. As a Freemason advances in degrees, the compass and the square takes on further and more deeper meaning. The G in the middle stands for God or the master geometrist, which they refer to as Jabalon or Om. Did y'all get that?
Yes.
And if you look at the interlocking triangle, you know the interlocking triangles, right? Now, the six-pointed star that interlocks?
Yes.
If you disconnect the tip or the corners of it, that's when you get the like a A and then an upside and then a V together,
yes.
Joined together.
Right.
Then put the G in the middle. Then that's your
Masonic
symbol.
Yes.
They're still dealing with the interlocking six-pointed star.
Yes.
They just cut the edges off and threw the G in the middle. It's the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting, ain't it?
Very.
Yeah. And I'm done. There's more to it, but I'm done. Tired of reading. Feel like I've been talking for hours. Anybody want to say something? It do. It feel like I.
That book can be purchased in Monticello, Georgia.
All I gonna need you, baby. Goodbye, sign 666. Please believe it.
That's
and
right.
It talks about the 13. It still goes into the money and the depiction of the sun coming up out of the horizon on the dollar bill, where you see the light shining behind the eye on your dollar bill. If you take a look at it.
Right.
You see the light shining on that, where Anuit Cape this is?
do, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically one thing that no one basically noticed on a dollar bill is that they put a landscape behind the pyramid. Do you see the landscape behind the pyramid?
Sure do.
You see that landscape? Isn't that beautiful? So they said that why is the horizon on the back of the dollar bill? Right? Because, mind you, it looks like water, too, doesn't it? Water in the sky touches, right?
It does. It looks like the sea. It looks like the sea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So why is the horizon on the back of the dollar bill? This line is symbolic of the horizon or Horus rising.
Mm-hmm.
And horizon represents traveling from west to east.
Mm-hmm. Maybe why that's a company called Verizon.
All right. Okay. They never stop working for you.
I'm starting to see this shit. This is crazy.
Yeah, this is why Freemasons travel in circles west to east. They keep moving in circles. They are no longer traveling east. They are now traveling west. This is the reason the 33rd degree Freemasons emblem of the double-headed eagle is facing in both directions. You ever seen the double-headed eagle? It faces in both directions. One
right.
is looking towards the east, and the other is looking towards the west. Basically, it goes right back into it. Now, mind you, this is on your dollar bill. This is still your God. If you got one in your pocket, motherfucker, this is still your God. You take it everywhere you fucking go. You leave your Bible at home, but make sure that dollar, that God in your pocket. This is why, okay, so the double-headed eagle is a symbol of panning. Panning. Panning is also when the sun moves from whatever part of the planet you are on vertically, standing. Then you can always watch the sun pan from east to west. That is how they pan sound. And pan is short for panic, by the way. The world is in a state of total panic. When they join the Freemasonic Lodge, they travel from the east to the west. And now the east is coming and invading the west and causing panic. Yes or no? Yes or no? Is not the east coming to the west causing panic? The East is over here on this side of the Western Hemisphere. Come on now, y'all sleep?
Nah, mute just, you know, trying to get off mute to answer. Yes.
Okay. Y'all got some slow mutes. That makes
yeah.
sense.
You know, them not so smartphones and shit.
And not so smartphones. Okay. Ain't that some interesting shit?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, like it says in Matthew 24:27, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They are afraid of the coming of the real Messiah. The term pantheism is also comprised of the word pan, y'all, pantheism. And pan indicates all, and theism, belief in the existence of a deity or deities. Theoism. Theoism. Theoism? Theosism?
Mm-hmm.
Theoism? Pantheism? The word theism is derived from the Greek word theos, meaning God. The principle of the pantheism religion is really the arc of the heavens and the dome of the universe, the movement of the sun. Pan is also the Greek mythology deity of the woods, fields, and flocks, having a human torso with goat legs, horns, and ears. There's your goat again.
Oh, you bought some men.
They just love to look, yeah, they just love to look Capricorn, goat, pantheism, Pan, the Greek goat. Anyway, the horizon puts the sun at a certain hour, y'all. The eye is risen to about 11 o'clock. 12 o'clock is high noon, and 1 o'clock is 1,300 hours in military time. There's your 13 again. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
1 and 12 is 13, Jesus being the 13th. And the 13th layer is the platform. 12 layers and one top called the cap or capital. Also beneath the, are you still looking at the dollar bill now? Also beneath the pyramid, there are two roses, a white rose on the right and a red rose on the left. Coming from under the pyramid is barren land. Then you have the sun's light around it with a left eye in it, which is the 13th point, which symbolizes the father of Horus, Osiris. Can y'all see that on your dollar bill?
Oh, yes.
You see it, J1? You see the rose? You see the rose on the left and the right? I see the rose. You see the rose on the left of the pyramid and the rose on the right? Okay, good. It's kind of difficult to see it. You have to... You see it, Miss Jackson? Okay. What up, Shaquette? How you doing? Where the rose at, Don?
They're at the base of the pyramid.
Okay, yes, at the base of the pyramid. Look at the pyramid, the bottom of the pyramid, the two corners. Yeah. Okay, you see it. Okay, good. Now, let's take a look at the number 13. The number 13, of course, is equivalent to the letter B, and the B equals the beehive. The beehive is the arch or arch stone. The arch stone is the stone that holds up the archway. The beehive is the symbol of the Boy Scouts, which was used by the French kings. Bees were a symbol of generative power. The beehive is found in Freemasonry as a reminder that in diligence and labor for a common good, true happiness may extract wisdom from the experience of daily life. Okay. And, of course, it goes back into the number B, the beehive, and all this stuff. And my fucking mouth is dry as hell, so y'all got to talk. Let me swallow some water. And it goes back to the bin, the signs of bins or bin. This is just fucking incredible. More on the money. Show me the money show, boo. Anyway, what you got, Midas, Neff, Babylon? Unmute slowly. This is Leviathan, the spell of Leviathan 666. That's the name of the book.
Okay.
From Don Nicolion Farasha at All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia. It's more, it's just, I'm just only dealing with the parts of the government, the money, and the dollar, but it talks about more than, you know, all that shit.
Yeah.
Than what we discussed.
Don't that book also talks about, it talks about the design for folks like Beyonce and all of them, and talks about, I had a chance to dip in it one
time.
Yeah,
because I'm on, this is actually part two. I'm on the second part. It's two book. It's two Leviathans. I'm on, this is part two. So it takes off at, I mean, it's a big-ass book, so they had to break it up in two parts. Because the book I got starts at page 406, The Computer Age. It's a whole bunch of table of contents.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they talk about 666 in astrology, pornography, the computer age, Farewell to Warfare. Mind you, this book came out way long time ago. The Science of the Number of the Beast, the Mark of the Beast, the beast, the Catholic Church is also responsible for the Crusades. Number to name, the significance of the Hebrew letters, and their numerical value. It breaks down of the number 666, the breakdown of the four F's. F's. Y'all familiar with the four F's? It breaks down the four F's too. The sigma, the first letter of the Greek alphabet. It talks about Visa equaling the 666. The promotion of the beast, Leviathan, in the media, how they did it. And also talk about our children and the hip-hop generation. Because the question is basically what it says, what will happen to those children who are into hip hop when hip hop dies?
That's if that's all they know.
And it is dying. What will happen to those children who are into hip hop who can't put on a suit and tie?
Mm.
Or are even growing? Or evening gown? What would happen to the children who just does not look right because they have destroyed their posture? What would happen to the generation of children who walk funny? Just look at the way they walk or the way they sit. Then they talk slow with a slur speech, and they call this cool or dope. The way they talk has deteriorated. They don't even enunciate their words properly. They don't pronounce syllables or ending sounds. They've forgotten how to articulate. Some of them have never even been taught the language because they dropped out of school before they learned anything, or their parents never took the time to teach them. Their whole countenance has been altered. Have you ever just sat back and tried to imagine the average hip-hopper trying to put on a suit and a tie on or an evening gown? You can't. They still wouldn't look right. Why? Because their posture is like that of a gorilla. They have made this generation regress to bent shoulders, hump back, slow walking, and talking. Children who don't have a future in mainstream society. And that's the way they want it. They don't want you in mainstream. They want you to cluster on street corners selling drugs, or waste away in playgrounds playing basketball and in alleyways shooting dice. Anything to distract you from wanting to become something, a thinking, progressive individual. Yet you think this shit is cool. A hip-hopper will tell you the reason they wear untied sneakers with big baggy saggy pants drooping down below the waist is because of those tough guys from their neighborhoods that got busted and ended up in prison or jail, which means if you are living in their image, then that's where you are bound to wind up. Think about it. The system is set up to destroy you. Step back and take a look at what's being done to you. Then it goes into, when arrested, the first thing that is taken away from you is the shoestrings and your belt to so-called prevent you from committing suicide. This would result in your pants sagging and untied shoe effect. This became a symbol that you were tough and rough and that you had been to jail. Gradually, as the marketeers saw a market for it, they created a style, made posters, and planted them everywhere. They started incorporating this degrading image into their commercials, and it became a style or simply stylish. They push these types of clothing knowing that you'll grab it and make it a style, especially if you see one of your favorite celebrities in one of these goddamn commercials. They use Nubian entertainers and athletes as personal billboards. These agencies are profiting off of you, yet doing nothing for you at all. Ask yourselves, do they care anything about you as a Nubian? You are being used as their profitable billboard. Instead of letting them freeload off of you, charge them for being a billboard. Just like they charge a network to advertise their product, charge them. What these principalities in high places didn't count on is sneakers going out of style as an everyday dress. Loafers and heels are coming back in style. Baggy clothes are going out and suits are properly fitted. Neat attire is returning. Back to my original point, it goes back into what he's talking about. The word Van Crack, I don't know if y'all remember them Van Cracks. If Red Fast would be Van Crack. They don't only use crack to destroy the lives of your Nubian brothers and sisters. They use a different variety of stimulants. Take reefer, for instance. Back in 1972, there was a movie that they showed called Reefer Madness. The targeted group was college campuses. The reason being they wanted to encourage students to fight against marijuana legislation and use marijuana. You wonder how they did this? Get the movie and look at it. you will see the high school principal, Dr. Carroll, so-called telling the parents to help stamp out marijuana, what he refers to as assassins of the youth, y'all. As soon as he begins to talk, he holds up a sheet of white paper with facts on it about the drug, when in fact, if the white paper is focused on, it produces a state similar to daydreaming or leads you into a hypnotic state of mind. Then this doctor begins to say his line in a hypnotic rhythm and divided changes in tone, space, and volume. In hypnosis, it's called the paternal technique. They also use the two frame flashes. So he's basically showing you, when you watch the movie Reefer Madness, it starts to put people in a hypnotic spell when the doctor begins to hold the sheet up. He was able to point that out. So I don't know if anybody's seen Reefer Madness.
I've seen pieces of it. I haven't seen that particular
Yeah,
scene.
We got to find that little snippet on, what's her name, on YouTube or something.
Yeah, we'll do that.
A little clip. But it shows, he's explaining how they basically put everybody that watched that shit under hypnotic spell at that point, said his tone started to change.
Mm.
And all his voice went to monotone. Mm-hmm.
That's how they do. Open you up, alpha waves, makes your brain very, very still, very open for all information to be easily imparted on you.
Yep, it says that in his line, wait, what did it say? Then the doctor begins to say his line in a hypnotic rhythm and divided changes in tone, pace, and volume. In hypnosis, it's called the paternal technique. And he said they also use the two frame flashes. So do you see why a lot of these motherfuckers I don't listen to now?
I'm with you, Don.
A lot
Absolutely.
Of these lecturers and motherfuckers, it's just certain, I just cannot. You know, while people say that these people are great, they be dropping out, I can't listen to them.
I did that. I went there about a year ago. I really just, I always tell you, I had to really cut a lot of motherfuckers out of my head. All those, you know, voices in my head, I had to cut it off. Not good.
Hypnotic spells.
Right.
Yeah. Say what?
Well, Donna, I want to thank you for taking time out and reading that to us. That was very nice of you. I really appreciate that. I got a lot
from
you.
Yeah, that was damn decent of me, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. We need to pass the damn hat.
Shit. That shit straight. That shit a lot. Goddamn. Bitch didn't have time to breathe. Mouth dry as fuck.
Got a lot of people calling for part two, Don. They want part two.
Yeah.
This is part two. Oh, you talking about part two of, oh, shit, the show is over. Okay, part two.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight. No, I got to finish working on this song, but maybe tonight if I'm done with this song. So I'll see y'all tonight about 9 o'clock. We'll see, okay? Y'all
all
have a
right,
morning
work.
Day. Thank y'all for tuning in. Peace.
Peace.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. By me.